It's time for TWiT this week in tech. We're back. First show of 2013, and it's a doozy. Clayton Morris, Jerry Pornell, and John C. Dvorak, our CES preview. Why not to go to CES, and a whole lot more coming up next on TWiT.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Audio bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by the new WinApp for Android, featuring wireless sync and one-click iTunes import. Now with free daily music downloads and full-length CD listening parties. Download it for free at winamp.com/android. Video bandwidth for TWiT is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 387, recorded January 6th, 2013. A year's worth of shrimp in 2 days. This Week in Tech is brought to you by ShareFile.com. Share files of almost any size, easily, securely, and free for the next 30 days. Visit ShareFile.com and use the offer code TWiT. And by Squarespace, the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website, blog, or online portfolio. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase on new accounts, visit Squarespace.com and use the offer code TWIT1. And don't forget to try their brand new developer platform for complete code control. And by Lantronics, maker of the X-Print server. Print from your iPad, iPhone, or any iOS device to virtually any printer. For more information, visit xprintserver.com/TWIT and enter the code TWIT to receive free shipping on your order. And by Audible.com. Sign up for the Platinum Plan and get 2 free books. Go to audible.com/twit2. And don't forget to follow Audible on Twitter. User ID audible_com. It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech, the show that covers the week's tech news. And we have this week our CES preview. And I thought it'd be good to bring in some old hands at CES, starting with this guy right here, John C. Dvorak. Hey, everybody. Hi, John.
Hey, Leo.
Hey. Are you going to CES this year?
No. Isn't that great?
John celebrates not going.
Who the heck wants to go?
John celebrates.
What a mess of a show that is.
It's kind of a nightmare.
But if you see me there, say hi.
You know, Jerry Pornell went a couple of years ago. I thought it was your big return to CES. I take it that was enough. Hey, Jerry Pornell.
I ought to try that. Bang, bang.
Bang, bang.
Now, I've got people going, and I don't have to.
Yeah.
I have lookalikes going.
Yeah. Do you?
Now, I don't have a lookalike, but I got a son there.
Yeah, Alex.
He's working.
Connectivity for a lot of the peep shows.
She does Showstoppers, I know.
Yeah.
And when you say peep shows, you're not talking about girls.
No, that's what he's talking about. That's what Alex loves. He loves those peep shows.
Also with us, he's already in Vegas. He's going. Clayton Morris from Fox and Friends.
He's in Vegas, and he's in a hotel?
He's in a hotel.
That's right.
In Vegas.
Yeah, I just got to the hotel. Yeah, John, I mean, last year, John? Every 5 minutes I saw John at the alcohol counter at one of the events. Was it last year? Every time we'd walk around and go to some different booths, and we'd be back, and John and I kept running into each other. And
we ran into each other quite a bit.
He said, "See that bottle of scotch back there? They shouldn't even have this out here. I'm not going to tell you that they have this bottle of scotch out here. You need to go get it. You need to ask them for it." So we just hovered around this bottle, I think, for like 2 hours.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Well, we're hovering around a bottle of scotch now, but you're not here, so we can't share it.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Wish we could. So, Clayton, do they make you go to CES? Is that why you're there?
You know, they don't really make me. I offer it up. And to me, it ends up being, you know, I think a lot of people sort of look down on the show lately, I think. But, I mean, really, a lot of the stuff that ends up driving my coverage for the rest of the year, I end up seeing for the first time here. And sort of informs my decision, stuff I'm going to cover over the summer, into the fall, certainly the holiday season. I think I did like 15 different segments during the holidays, and I have to say most of those different devices and gadgets, save for a few Apple devices here and there, were all launched at CES this past year.
It is a one-stop shop.
Like what?
Let's see. Let's roll back through some of the home automation stuff. We got to see some of the Nest stuff.
I love Nest. That is so cool.
Some of the stuff from iHome. Let's see. Some of the, some of the docking stations.
I'll tell
you
one thing we saw last year that we never did see were the OLED TVs from LG and Samsung. They never shipped them.
Right.
We should have one there today.
It is interesting if you run down the, like, sort of the laundry list of things that you that are announced at CES and that you never end up actually seeing.
More than half.
Absolutely. And I think about all the Android tablets we were promised. Yeah. I mean, all the things that were going to take off. It was going to be the year of the tablet last year. And it really.
But ironically, what we didn't see much of is Windows 8 tablets last year.
Right. So we'll probably see a couple of those. I mean, there's going to be a whole bunch of things that I'm interested in seeing. Of course, we'll see the TVs, and someone's going to release one of those giant televisions. They always try to outdo each other every year by 2 inches.
Westinghouse has a 110-inch 4K display. Westinghouse, what the hell?
Of course, it isn't really Westinghouse anymore. Yes.
Who is it?
Yes,
they call it Westinghouse Digital. So there is a Westinghouse that still makes appliances, and I presume that's the original Westinghouse. And then there's Westinghouse Digital, which makes just TVs. And I'm figuring that's a Korean or a Chinese or something.
I think it's Korean, isn't it? I'm not dead sure, but I know it's not George Westinghouse's old company.
They are they're headquartered in Orange, California, though. I don't know if they're – but I've got to think they're making – they're kind of the house TVs for a lot of big box stores, things like that, right?
Yeah. I have the press release from the DEG Awards, which I'll load up here. And we can talk about the specific award winners for the CES show, even though the show hasn't even started.
That's the other thing that gets me is they all have these badges. Winner, CES Innovation Award 2013. They're already awarded all the awards.
And, the show hasn't even started until Tuesday officially. I mean, we have the press night tonight, so the big unveiled event that I like to go to these smaller events at night where I can really interact with some of the companies, spend some time with these different gadgets, see if it's going to make it on my air eventually. You know, those press events take place two nights ahead of the show even launching. So I've got to get out here 2 days before the show even starts.
In fact, most of our coverage of CES is going to be the CES Unveiled event tonight. Robert Ballester will be there. Dick DiBartolo will be at the Digital Experience tomorrow night. The so-called peep shows that Jerry was talking about. And Showstoppers on Tuesday night with Dick DiBartolo will be there. That's like 90% of our coverage. But that kind of seems kind of unfair because that's at most 100, 150 products that pay an extra $15,000 just to be at these peep shows.
Right. Or some that don't even go to the main show. I know last year when we were at Pepcom, I think, you know, I don't know if you were you there last year, Leo? I mean, it was the year before. We were running
don't
around,
ask that question. That's a sensitive.
Especially about
you're
Pepcom.
You're going to get me started.
He was blackballed as though it was Apple.
They wouldn't let me in.
Because that was –
God knows, Leo, you don't have any coverage.
They wouldn't let me in. I think we screwed up because we had a bunch of people in there, and I think they said, oh, no, you've got too many people from Twit in here eating
our
food.
They're all different shows.
And eating our food.
The food.
Yeah, it's for some reason – Showstoppers, Stephen Leon's always very nice. But for some reason, a Digital Experience, it's like they're guarding the Fort Knox in there. And I think it's the food. I really do. I think they
I
don't
got kicked out of – I snuck in early. During that year that Clayton's referring to, somehow I got in. I snuck in because some guard was looking the wrong way. So I got in there. The whole thing was filled with the vendors, and I started going around from vendor to vendor getting some early coverage because there wasn't anybody else in
there.
Then I got kicked out
because
the iRobot people turned me in.
What? Why would they do that?
You tell me. I don't get it.
They turned you in for what?
I was going to give them a write-up, and that's the end of them. They're now blackballed.
One of those Roombas got your sock and pulled you out of the room.
Well, I guess everything has changed. My major experiences with these things were back in Comdex days when I used to give the Best of Show award, and I didn't notice any problems with people.
Why did CES survive and Comdex not?
Well, I think Sheldon
made so dang much money out of it that he turned to something else.
No, they put him in debt when they sold it a couple times more. There was so much of a debt load they couldn't keep the thing going without going broke.
So it wasn't lack of interest that killed Comdex. It was just mismanagement.
It was finances. It was a financial problem. Finances. It wasn't really a management issue.
CES will get, they say, 150,000 attendees this year.
I think that's low, actually.
So, I mean, it's clearly flourishing. I just wonder why we need it in an internet age. Why do we need a consumer electronics show?
Well,
maybe it's not that we need it. And I'm certainly I get a lot of great coverage, and it's great for me to see these things up up close and to sort of make these relationships for later on so that I can feature different things and work with different companies and see what they have to offer down the line for context. But really, it's for them, right? I mean, it's to make the deals in the back rooms and to have the lunches and
But do they need to do that? Do they need to do that in person? I guess maybe they do.
Well, I mean, it's the same thing that TED, you know, the famous analogy of the TED Talks, right? It's that... Yes, they can put it out there for free online so that we can all enjoy the TED Talks. But to be in that room, to pay the ticket, to go to a TED Talk yourself, I mean, you're in the hall with Al Gore having, you know, rubbing elbows with Bill Gates.
And by the way, you can pay twice as much and Al Gore won't be there.
The special Al Gore free TED. Yes, that's a lot of people don't know about that one.
Yeah, it's costly.
obviously, you know, I'm going to leave after the show. I'm flying out there, but I'm going to New Media Expo. I'm going to speak there and give the podcast awards. Then I'm going to do some work for Stitcher at the Ford booth, and I'll wander around.
Stitcher?
Stitcher's a podcast app. You should know about it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure they have no agenda on Stitcher.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah, Stitcher's great. Yeah. Stitcher does a lot of stuff for our podcasts. And they are, plus, they're built in. I mean, now Stitcher is built into Ford. And
that's right. That's why they're going to be there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it's obviously relevant. It's thriving. I think it's relevant for press, apparently relevant for dealers.
Yeah, there's enough press. There are 4 press people per booth.
I believe that.
No, it's true.
I believe that. Yeah.
That's the number.
Well, that of course is because unless they've changed things a lot, anybody who had a web camera was press.
Yeah, bloggers are press.
So,
that's true.
I mean, I can remember a couple of years ago going to it and getting to an Intel press conference at 7:30 in the morning, and I couldn't get in because it was full. Yep. The halls were full outside of people with press badges.
Yeah.
And I love looking at people's badges.
I don't go anymore. Yeah. It's one reason I don't go anymore, because if everybody's press, then nobody's press.
Here's what gets me. The insulting press badge nowadays in a lot of these events says press/blogger.
You don't like that, huh?
Well, I think it's you're either a press or you're a blogger.
You guys sound like the old school.
Hey,
old
I don't
want
to see blogger on my thing.
I love it. CNET's sending 90 people. The Verge is sending 60 people. 90 people.
Why?
90 people work there.
I know. Well, that's CBS money now. We're talking.
Yeah,
it's certainly a big event for the press, and yet Microsoft isn't going to be there for the first time ever. No keynote from Microsoft. Microsoft said, "No, we're going to do our own thing in October. Announce Windows 8. We don't need to go to CES." You got to wonder how long before Samsung decides we don't. They already said we're not announcing any phones.
Is Sony going to be there?
Sony is there. I'm sure they were there last year with their. Why they have the worst slogan ever?
They're good at that.
Make Dot believe.
We had a dog named Dot.
Maybe it's about making Dot believe. Sony has a gigantic booth, and they show TVs and stuff. Canon's there. Samsung's there. LG, Panasonic. It really has become a TV, HD TV
well,
show.
And
right?
camera. I mean, and of course, the merging the camera shows into this.
But I don't think there are going to be any pro cameras announced there. It's all, I mean, if anything, their point and shoots are.
Right. And there will always be some interesting, I'm curious what Polaroid's going to do with, like, you know, their Android announcement, now. And so you're seeing Android in a lot of different cameras. And but, you know, it was consumer based. I mean, that's the point of it.
That's why I think electronics. Well, let's talk about some of these awards. The DEG honors, the headline is Walmart is named, it won, Best Retailer of the Year.
Oh, there you go.
Now, that tells you something.
Wow.
Now, they're already giving these out.
Yeah. And the Emil N. Petroni Innovation Awards. Here's the big 3 winners. These are your gizmo winners. The best physical media product, the BDP 105 Blu-ray disc player.
Love that.
You do?
Is that, that's an Oppo.
What?
Oppo? O-P-P-O?
Yeah, Oppo.
Yeah, that's actually a great piece of hardware.
Oh, well, they won an award. Okay, well,
I would have given it that.
Okay, best digital media product?
Yeah.
Kindle Fire.
I don't know about that. It's selling like hotcakes.
Well,
obviously.
It got an award. The most innovative home entertainment product, the XBR 84X900 4K Ultra HD TV from Sony.
Huh? One thing I got to say, none of this stuff is new. This is all older stuff. None of this stuff is new from CES.
And then they got these Screwball Awards, which we should know about. Theatrical title of the year, The Avengers from Walt Disney Studios.
Yeah, that's not new. That's last year's movie.
I'm just saying. 3D title of the year, Hugo.
That's not even last year. That's 2011. What are you looking at this year's?
I'm telling you, no. The award winners for 2012. I just got the press release this morning.
John, this is 2013.
No. Okay.
John.
Best at CES 2013.
Okay, good. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
That's a relief.
I was thinking of signing a check.
You scared me.
No, this is the right stuff.
John's finally gone off over the horizon to the little twit in the sky.
Right here, top headline. DEG honors industry's best Walmart named retailer.
Walmart's the
I
best.
I sent him an email won the other retailer.
Who is DEG, the electronic?
No, this is a digital group that's, they're somehow associated.
Yeah. We're trying to get Clayton back. He dropped off. We'll get him back in a second. Actually, I tell you what, why don't we take a break while we're working on Clayton? Enough CES. I have to mention it.
You're
next
the one
week
that
we'll
said that we were going to review CES, right? At the beginning of the show.
We had to. But next week, we'll actually talk about if anything big happened or not. We'll take a break. When we come back, I will ask each of you if there's anything you're looking for, you want to see, maybe a trend you want to see, maybe something Clayton's looking for. There's a television I want to know about. And I'll be looking for. Maybe I'll get Clayton.
I've got a couple of things.
All right, so hang on. So you have your milkshake, Clayton. You have your old fashioned. John and I'll have our Glenflachos.
Here's explains the 2012.
That's
reference.
All right. I don't want to know.
Yeah, you do. You want to know these things. It's absolutely important.
Please explain.
Apparently, the awards they're giving out for these theatrical titles were things that were released during 2012.
Oh, their Blu-ray came out in 2012.
And so they're giving them the awards for the products that are out there and being shown at the show.
Came out in 2012.
The movie
didn't
came
it?
Out. Yeah, but the Hugo is a 2011 movie. But I guess
think
the
it
Blu-ray.
Is.
No.
Okay. Well, then the Blu-ray disc or something.
Blu-ray came out this year. Yeah. In any event, let's talk about ShareFile.com. If you have been trying to share large files over the internet, maybe you started by emailing them and you get the bounce backs. Crazy. Maybe you've been trying to, use one of the commercial file sharing programs. Fine, but I have to say you can run into trouble. I used to use one of the other programs, and I had a guy. This is how I used to share the commercials on the radio show with the radio stations. And the guy I was sharing it with would just delete it. And I said, no, you can't delete it because it deletes it for everybody else. He says, no, it's just taking up space in my hard drive. I'm going to delete it. It didn't work. So finally, I found ShareFile from Citrix. And I have to say, this is the way to share files. No email bounce backs. It's secure, so it complies with regulations in almost every industry. If you're a physician, for instance, it's HIPAA compliant. That means it's secure, it's safe. You can send patient records, you can share patient records. If you go to ShareFile.com, you'll see, in fact, when you click that green Start Your Free Trial, you'll see a bunch of different industries you can customize ShareFile to work with. The one thing I'd like you to do is add that promo code TWIT because we want to make sure we get credit for that. It is a fantastic way to share files. 30 days free. I strongly recommend it to you for your business if you are sharing files. Let me just show you. This is my share file here, and this is what it looks like. Can you see that, Jason? Yeah. So it's customized. So it looks like you're. Let's say I'm. I do this actually every week. I share commercials. There's no commercials this week. Let's go to KFI's folders. These are folders on my hard drive, automatically synced. I'm browsing through it on the website. Hey, let's say I want to send this file to you. I can do this via plugin in Outlook, or I can use the ShareFile web interface. I can even send an email like this. It looks like an email. It's not. Or I can get a special link, and I like doing it this way. And look what I can do. I can have it email me when the item has been downloaded. Let me make this a little bit bigger. I can require recipients to enter name and email before downloading so I could track them. I can expire the download after a day, week, month, or never. I can say how many times they can download. So if you really want to restrict it, you could say they can download this for 1 week, they can get one download. I want them to enter the email address, and then I send it. I'm going to get a special link that I can include in an email. I can send to them. I can text to them. And let me show you what happens when they enter that link in, because they don't have to sign up for ShareFile. They don't have to do anything. They just go to that link, and they get a customized site that looks – oops. This is – remember, I asked that they have provide this email information and so forth. They get a customized site with my logo on it. I'll just put this in. Leo, these are all required. And I'll click continue to download page. They get a link. It's very simple. Download button. It couldn't be easier. Even the least sophisticated people that I deal with all the time have no trouble using ShareFile. That's why it's the best way to share files with clients, colleagues. All my share files are always visible, not only on my other computers via my ShareFile account, but also on the smartphones, the laptops, the tablets via the special ShareFile app. Mac or PC, this is a great way to share files. Please try it free today. Visit ShareFile.com and use that promo code TWIT from the great folks at Citrix. We thank them so much for their support. I guess Westinghouse Digital, in the chat room they tell me, is licensed from Westinghouse, which is owned by CBS.
Yeah, the name is licensed.
And so there's a Westinghouse licensing, and they license the name out via CBS. I didn't know CBS owned Westinghouse, but it makes sense.
Yeah.
All right, so let's before we wrap completely on this CES story, Clayton, is there anything you're particularly looking for this year?
I do want to see this, whatever Samsung's going
Me
to announce
too.
This television.
That's the one I'm interested in.
Because what is it going to be, right? And there's been a lot of speculation online as to what it's going to be, some sort of transparent screen, which seems asinine to me.
Yes.
Because, I mean, you're going to want to look through at all your wires. I mean, if you see the TV in my house and you're looking through this thing, you're going to see surge protectors and Apple TV cords.
Yeah,
and
you don't want to look through the. Well, here's what's causing all the interest. This is the quote from the invitation. You're seeing the picture on your screen. A true innovation of TV design coming up with, quote, an unprecedented new TV shape.
So is it portrait? I mean, is it going to be? I mean, which could be cool. And I think that I was thinking about this the other day as I was playing with my, you know, the 55-inch Vizio. And when you pull in some of the web apps, you know, it pushes the screen over, or you've got the stuff coming up from the bottom, and it's all over the screen, and then you can't see the picture. So maybe that's what they're thinking here.
I don't want extra room on my screen. I want to watch the movie. I want the movie to fill the screen. I don't want to see anything but the movie.
No, this is for those all the broadcasters out there that are doing those portrait broadcasts that we can't watch.
Yeah, right.
I have not been able to watch one of these
Not
things.
One of them.
No, you know what this is for? I just figured it out. It's for all of the idiots out there that shoot iPhone video up and down in portrait mode.
Hey, I do that all the time.
And it's got the black bar.
I know,
on the
it's
side.
So stupid. It's dumb, but I do that.
Yeah, we forget, but you know, I had to yell at my mom about it. I'm like, "Mom, can you stop shooting videos like that if you're going to post them? You got these black bars on the side."
That's what it's for. It's for iPhone videos. The Samsung iPhone video screen.
Well, I'd be interested in your report on this thing because I'd like to see what it was. That's the only thing that was.
So, and they're not announcing that, I think, till Wednesday morning is their press conference.
Well, you got to stay there all week to watch to see this thing?
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't start till Tuesday, but we're here. Yeah, that's the
Wednesday morning.
Yeah, he's there Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Jeez.
Also, I mean, look, I'm really excited about the home automation. You know, I think we've been hearing about it for years. I think it's been one of the sort of promises. So you crap on it, John, but I think you're crapping on it because we have this past few years' experience
of not seeing anything,
right? Or seeing things that are so ridiculously expensive and don't make any sense and don't have any practical use. Then I saw, you know, then you start to see the things like the Nest. You start to see things like the Wemo from Belkin, and which, by the way, I used for all.
Did you get a Wemo? I ordered it, but I haven't gotten mine yet. Wemo.
It's great. And in fact, we used it for our Christmas lights. So I set it up so that every day at 4 p.m., the Christmas lights outside would turn on, and at like 12:30 in the morning, they would turn off. The Christmas tree would go on at 4
p.m. That's astonishing.
How does it work?
Well, it's great, too, because we were away for a week. And we were away for a week.
How much is that, by the way, for that special plug?
Let me get one of those things.
You can do anything with it. I mean, but to me, this is, you can start wrapping your brain about using it for like if this, then that stuff. So, Leo, anytime, you know, someone sends you an at reply on Twitter, you can set up a recipe on if this, then that and have your bathroom light turn on and off.
I'm trying to think of why I would want that.
I still want to do
drink.
That.
I mean, drink.
You could even
The real problem with this is, no, I have the Nest, and I also have the Hue lights from Philips. I ordered a Wemo, but none of it talks to anything else. So you have, basically, you have 12 apps on your iPhone that each do something different. Right. I mean, I can set my thermostat from here if I wanted to.
One of the things we see too is Siri based home automation, I think, this year. I think we're going to see quite a few Siri-based.
Now you're just killing. You're just fooling with us now.
Siri, turn on my lights. No, the lights, Siri.
I think we're going to see
I don't want to watch the fights. No, not the fights. Turn off the fights. I want the lights.
Hey, that guy had a clapper on his.
He did. That was what alerted the burglar. We're talking about a video we saw before the show. Metro Scenes in our chat room. He's going to be on Fox and Friends, I think. He's been on the Today Show. He's all over the news. He's on Reddit. He had a home automation system taking pictures, and he got the burglars robbing his home, and two of the kids have been arrested already. But what happened is apparently he also had a clapper on the Christmas tree, and the kid accidentally turned on the Christmas tree, and you can see on the video he jumps, and then he starts looking around, and then he sees the camera. He hides his face, and he goes over, and he pulls it down.
Yeah.
So, and then apparently they poured bleach in the DVR, which did nothing to the hard drive, and they've now been arrested.
We haven't had good home
the
automation.
The question is, do their parents have any money?
Yeah. Yeah, probably not.
No, of course not. But maybe they'll go to jail and learn a thing or two. How to do it better.
It's no good to send them to jail, but if their parents have any money, you can sue them.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you should almost just put some stuff out on the front porch for him, and it'd save you a lot of damage and time. Here, have my Wemo. Good luck to you. You know what I'd like to? You know what I'd like to see very much, Clayton, is some sort of agreement on standardization for these things, because there isn't any way to kind of universally control them. They need to all be controlled.
Yeah, and you can't have certain devices. You can't have the Nest in one app that you can control over your home Wi-Fi network with the Wemo turning on lights, right, turning off. But well, there are whole packages though. Now you actually have those people are able to lock their deadbolts now,
right?
Using your smartphone. So yeah. You're right. You've got eight different apps for eight different things in your house. You're accidentally turning on a blender when you meant to, get the baby monitor up and running, and you're waking up the kid.
Here's my thermostat in my house right now. It knows that I'm away, and it's in auto away mode. But I could, if I wanted to, I could end the away and turn on the heat.
Turn on high speed.
Yeah, that's what I just did. I got on the flight. I had to do the show this morning at 4 a.m. and went right from there to the airport. And I thought, oh crap, I forgot to turn off the thermostat. And I did on just when I landed on the plane. I put it on.
You couldn't have called the nanny and had her do it.
A Nest is a lot cheaper than
a nanny.
He's got two nannies, this guy.
He's got two kids.
Oh, Clayton's loaded. This guy's loaded.
Yeah. That's why I drink old fashions.
Martini's going to be a better image.
You make me a martini.
Switch to the martinis.
How old? That's actually a good question. How old do your kids have to be before you teach them to make you a martini?
What is depends on what state you're in.
What is the minimum age for that?
My son now, he knows what I'm drinking. I've quizzed him since he was like under a year. I said, what is Daddy drinking? A beer. So he'll walk over. If there's a beer sitting across the room, he'll just go and grab it and walk it over and says, here, Daddy. And just hands it to me.
That's the reason to have
what
kids.
What a great kid.
Yeah.
Is there, Jerry, are you paying attention to CES at all? Is there anything that you're interested in?
Actually, the reason I used to go to these shows is so that I could actually do some hands-on stuff of things they're going to release. I haven't seen a new tablet that is better than the old compact tablet from back in the days when tablets first came out.
You think that the compact? You think the compact is better than the iPad?
Well, no, but it depends. If you mean as a full-service computer, yes, the old compact was better. Of course, you got to remember, the compact understood my handwriting. Apparently,
here we go again. Never ends. If I haven't heard this once, I've heard it forever.
Go ahead. John's in a rare mood. Everybody should just ignore him. I should never have given him that whiskey.
I mean, how many tablets did we see last year, the year before, all these weird Transformer
tablets
that rotate? Yeah. They do yoga. They do tree pose. They do Pilates.
Well, what's funny is those are all now going to be Windows 8 tablets.
Right. Yeah. They couldn't sell them with Android on them.
Right.
Couldn't sell them with a nice skin. I mean, presumably the only real tablet that's doing well, Kindle Fire and the Nexus 7.
Jerry, what about the Surface? You know, Microsoft isn't going to be at CES, so they won't be showing the Surface Pro, but that's going to be like that compact, I think.
That's one reason I'm not going. I'm waiting to see what the surface is going to look like. I have got Windows 8 on a big, high, powerful desktop. I mean, with lots of memory and lots of drives. And I think I'm going to convert it back to Windows 7 because it just isn't that useful. But for something like a tablet, a real touch type of thing, Windows 8 looks like it's going to be pretty good.
I think, in fact, you're not really doing a fair job of looking at Windows 8 on a desktop unless you're using touch even on the desktop.
Yeah, I have a big fancy desktop. It's certainly fast enough.
But does it have touch?
It has enough. But it's not a touch. And of course, I want to reach up and poke around on my screen when I'm typing. It just doesn't. That way. So I'm going to convert that into a Windows 7 machine and make it one of the master machines here because it's a good machine. But I don't need Windows 8 on it. But Surface may turn out to be what I'm looking for. Look, I don't know. You guys act like you spend a lot of time in a room with a TV in it. I don't.
Is that because we're so stupid?
Big TV and so forth. I like to see movies, although lately the movies I get tend to come from the SAG-AFTRA union and as review copies, and you spend half your time being told the FBI is going to kill you if anybody come look at the movie.
Yeah.
But I don't spend a lot of time in a room with a TV in it. I still use computers.
I spend way too much time in a room with a TV on it, actually.
Yeah.
And you're still always think it's a mess. In this office doing podcasts. I don't see how you have any time to look at
when
TV.
When I'm not here, I'm watching TV.
So Intel is not going to have, and this is what I'm curious about, too. You talk about the TV. I still think this is the missing piece. I mean, this is the missing link, and it's still been scattershot. You have different companies making different content deals. You have different apps, different web apps. Last year we saw from Samsung that thing where you stand in front of it and you wave your hand up.
Yeah, that went remember somewhere, that huh? Yeah.
I forgot about that.
And people were walking by it at the Best Buy and they're trying to wave their hands or it's accidentally turning on and off because you have, morons turning it on and off.
Most frustrating thing I've ever done is try to use the Kinect to control an Xbox. And you're standing here like this and it's a pain in the ass. And it's like, just give me a mouse for crying out loud.
Just looks like you're swatting at flies the whole time.
it's so horrible. Anyway, I agree with you. We need a better set-top box. Intel, I don't know why they did this. They announced or they leaked that they were going to have one, and then they pulled back very fast and said, but we won't do it on CES. We won't do it till later this year, like June. The real problem for Intel is you can build it, but if you don't get any content creators to support it, you got nothing. And Apple's having a hell of a time. All Apple could do is rent and sell movies and TV.
Let's do something. iTunes was successful, so let's do something like that with video. But the video business has never been in the toilet like the music business.
So they're
was.
Not desperate.
They're not desperate. They don't care. And besides
not
that,
yet.
I don't know. I just think the whole thing is...
Jobs biography, and I think this is accurate, Isaacson said that the way Steve was able to get the record companies to go along is with a carrot and stick approach, saying, first of all, you're losing your shirt to piracy. And that was true at the time, remember?
Yeah.
And second, we have a way of selling it. And then the third key ingredient was, we're just little old Apple. We're not going to threaten you in any way. Well, the music industry has learned that lesson. As soon as iTunes became the number one seller of music, it was all over. And I think the TV and the motion picture industry, you're right, aren't pressured by pirates in this as much, but more importantly, have watched the experience the music industry had and said, we're not going to let Apple run this show.
At what point does it become a failure when you have these when you don't now have the ability to pick your shows, the programs, the channels a la carte? Right. Let's say you have the five or six stations that you end up watching. I think there may be three stations I end up watching on a regular basis.
Well, that's the fear, isn't it? Of all these companies is you won't buy if you just want to watch, Game of Thrones.
Right.
You're not going to buy the big package. We're not going to make enough money.
I had a friend of mine who just signed up for Showtime because he wanted to start watching Homeland.
Right.
Well, that was a mistake.
That's that's a great show.
Right, never mind.
But
just
he's signing up for one service, and it's because, you know, you have Showtime, which is, I guess maybe it's smart, right? You can't get Dexter. Dexter season 7 just wrapped up. I don't have Showtime.
Right.
So I wait for it to come out on iTunes or on Netflix, and I buy it when it's available. But, of course, you want to soak up as many DVD sales as they can. So at what point, what is the tipping point for DVD sales? You know, you go into a Best Buy now, they have like one rack of CDs left. That's it. Remember, it used to take up the whole, it was enormous at a Best Buy. Now you walk in there, it's one little rack. Right. I was in there just the other day. DVDs, of course, are shrinking. And now they have Blu-rays and a big discount bin.
Right.
Seven.
They're cheap.
Oh, that's a good deal.
They're cheap.
I couldn't believe it. It's a wonder how long until Best Buy says, you know what, the real estate in our stores, Walmart says the real estate in our stores, we could have better opportunities here. I don't ever see anyone milling about in the DVD aisle.
Why would you even go to a Best Buy? The only reason you go to a Best Buy is because they have refrigerators and you can take it home today.
Yeah, that you can't spell Amazon.
I don't understand. There's no reason to go to a brick and mortar store anymore, right?
Well, that's true. I mean, unless you want to go and experience television. I mean...
Yeah, I bought my last TV. You know how I bought my last TV? I read all the reviews, and I bought the one that everybody agreed was the best TV from Amazon. I didn't look at it.
That's what I did. This was sad, and I felt bad about it. Yeah. But, I mean, I'm not going to apologize for $300 difference. So I was staying at a Best Buy. My wife and I were there. We wanted one for our living room that was going to be big. I talked her into a 55-inch. She wanted, like, I don't know, 25 inches. Who knows? And I wanted a big one. We were there for, like, an hour and a half looking at I wanted 240 hertz. Yeah, I wanted the whole thing. So we were spending there talking with a guy at Best Buy for a long time who actually knew his stuff, surprisingly. And, of course, my wife knows her stuff from the CNET lab. Of course, where they would test all these things in those dark rooms. So we were there for quite a while. And we thought, okay, this is the one we're going to get. And I just quickly, I'm just going to jump on Amazon here to see the difference. It was a $300 difference. I mean, I might have done some charity if it was like $50 because the guy spent a lot of time with us. But $300? It was absurd. And then I didn't have to worry about lugging it out to my car.
Right.
But how much did that guy make a day who spent all that time with you?
Well, that's the point. Is that this is not a viable business model. Best Buy can't, as a showroom for Amazon, that's not a viable business model.
Yeah, I think that's exactly correct, and that's kind of what's happening to that. Same with the publishing industry, which is my business. Everything's different now. Everything has changed.
So I'm trying to imagine what the tipping point's going to be for content creators. I mean, really, the ideal friction-free model would be...
Content creators, what's the business for selling TVs as appliances?
Well, you got to buy a TV. Apparently, you don't have to buy one more than every 5 or 6 years, so that's kind of hurting the industry.
Yeah.
That's why they're doing... That's why one of the things you're going to see... But one of the things you see more and more at CES is a desperate industry trying to convince people that there's some reason to buy a new TV. And they tried 3D 3 years ago. That tanked.
Yeah, and to make it better, what with the financial cliff that we keep going over, they keep letting us go off, hit the ground, and then come back up and go over it again. you're not going to have a lot of people with a lot of discretionary change this year. Now, you and I in the entertainment business, we're going to do all right.
Jerry, maybe people don't know, has a great show. I think it's So You Think You Can Dance, Sucker, on the Fox Network. Are you in the entertainment business, Jerry?
Come on, I write sound novels.
Oh, yeah, you're right. A writer is an entertainer.
Not the song and dance business. Oh,
okay.
That's different.
You're right. That's the entertainment business. Yeah. You're saying we're going to do all right because in a depression... People need to be elevated.
They need to be entertained.
Yeah.
Because they've got nothing else to do.
Basically, the worse the economy, the more the better storytellers do.
Yeah, that's
true. It's been. Vaudeville was successful during the Depression when nothing else was.
Right.
And the problem is right now, during this past 3 years, there's been some great freaking shows. I mean, there was a dearth of shows for a while. I didn't care about watching anything, but now we've got such great content. Stuff.
Ironically, it's almost all over the place.
Isn't
it almost all though on the pay channels like Showtime and HBO? Or am
no,
I wrong?
No, there's good stuff. 30 Rock.
Yeah, I mean, like I love Justified on FX, AMC,
Walking Dead,
Warehouse Mad 13,
Dead. Yeah,
but on Sci-Fi Channel, yeah.
You've seen nothing yet. Look, when we first got into this racket, in order to become a record industry, a recording artist, you needed a couple of $100,000 worth of equipment. Now anybody can do that. It's talent right. only. You don't have to right. pay a producer to do anything for you. Right. Well, we're getting there with movies. My friend, the director, tells me that for about $15,000 in equipment, you can now make production quality movies. Now, you're going to have a hell of a lot of talent coming up with different things. You know, Affleck and his buddy did Good Will Hunting. You're going to have, but now imagine that you could do that in your garage.
Well, so that's interacting with new screens, right?
But that's why I think that may be the tipping point. Because to get back to what I was saying is, the friction-free solution is for content creators to sell directly to their audience. So you get a Ben Affleck selling directly to his audience. You eliminate the movie company. You eliminate the cable company. You eliminate the cable channel. All of those guys are just a drag.
You are the perfect example of this exact model.
Isn't this the future?
You in this studio. Well, this studio is a little over the top. But I would say if you were green screening right now, this would be the model of the future.
We're not trying to do it as cheaply as possible.
No.
Well, you remember that Jon Stewart, Bill O'Reilly thing that they did? I don't know how many. Or
Louis C.K., who instead of selling it through Comedy Channel, the Comedy Central, does it himself and makes a lot more money, right? So that's where you're going to see the disintermediation. And then maybe an Intel will have a chance. Then it's maybe an Intel or an Apple can go directly and provide, you know, some sort of marketplace.
Why can't you do that on Roku? Roku's already got this figured out.
Yeah, but what you need is a marketplace, right? You need a way for me to go to Ben Affleck and say, yes, I'll buy your movie. An Apple or an Intel could do that. I mean, Intel doesn't want to be in this business. They just want to sell chips.
I don't know what Intel's thinking.
They want to sell chips. It's a reference.
You have Netflix doing this, and so Arrested Development. When does Arrested Development kick off? Very soon, right?
Yeah.
So you have them ponying up for a fourth season of Arrested Development.
Yeah, they bought it. And they also bought from Kevin Spacey's company, Trigger Street. They bought House of Cards, which is a British show that they're going to remake for Netflix. I think this is the future. And then if you're HBO, you got to start to worry. If you're Comcast, you got to start to worry.
Can something be gleaned from what Andrew Sullivan did this past week with his content, with the way in which he's now putting out his content on the web?
He went independent, right? What happened?
Yeah, independent from the Daily Beast. Now he's taking it back to andrewsullivan.com. And if you like him and you subscribe to his art, if you want to read his content, you can subscribe and pay, I think it's $19 or $20 a year or something like that. Yeah, and then otherwise, on the RSS feed, it's still free content. He's not going to put that behind a paywall, similar to sort of what the New York Times does, that if I share out an article to the New York Times, you still have access to it for free. But are we creating sort of these little niche communities now where we're loyal to just certain content, and it's, as you say, disintermediated, where it's all over the place, and we get our news from Andrew Sullivan and we pay a subscription to him. I subscribe to, you know, Marco's The Magazine.
Same idea, 99 cents a month, right?
Right. I mean, and it's all sort of scattered. It's not these big media houses putting out this stuff anymore.
Fellas,
that's pretty rare.
Been this for years.
You have been, haven't you,
Jerry? Jerry's been doing this forever.
It is free. You can pay if it's on the public radio model. I won't keep it up if people don't pay, but plenty of people do pay. And as for a good half of my income now comes from self-published backlist books.
That's great.
My old books are making me thousands a month just out there on in Amazon mostly. iStore probably brings in 5%, and maybe Nook brings in 10%, and the rest of it is through Amazon. And the nice thing about Amazon on paying for books that you've published yourself, is they not only pay 70% royalty, they pay it monthly, 2 months in advance, and they send you a check rather than with their traditional big line publishers who pay just on credible threat of lawsuit.
That's about right. And don't forget the noagendashow.com, as somebody in the chat room mentioned.
Absolutely.
We are totally...
You're ad-free, you're supported by the listeners, and you make enough money to...
do the show another day.
In other words, like Jerry, you can't keep it up if people don't pay.
We won't keep it up.
Let me point out that you mentioned niches. Isn't that the future?
Absolutely.
You don't need 200 million readers.
Yeah, you do. I'd like the idea.
I agree, and I think that's what we're trying to do here, is super serve a niche. And I think if you deliver that niche, now we're a little different because we're ad-supported media. So we're free media supported by ads. I don't think it's so different in that you still have to have the best content. Look, nothing's going to get around the fact that if your content isn't great, people aren't going to pay for it and they're not going to watch it.
Right.
You have to have good content.
You have to at least have... There were 14 million Kindles sold last year. I've seen newspapers telling me how awful it was because electronic readers are going away because they sold fewer than they expected to. Well, it seems to me that I don't need an enormous part of the 14 million in order to stay alive.
Yeah, I'll take 10%.
I'll take a million.
I'll take a half million, and at $10, $20 a year? Good heavens. The question is being able to find your niche and for your niche to find you. I know there are a lot of people.
A guy walked over and he said, I've been hearing about this Apple TV. I think I want to get one. Only $99. That's what I overheard him say. You know, and my sister just got one for Christmas. She doesn't know much about it. She loves it now. If you can open that up, adding more apps from other content providers without it being so locked down. I know the frustration, though, with companies like Sling, you know, trying to get on the Apple TV and how difficult it is.
I wish they were live on Apple TV. I wish, we know they can it because Apple iTunes has live concerts every summer, but they never open it up for live TV. Isn't that the missing piece, though, in cord cutting? So is Wall Street Journal Live on iTunes, on the Apple TV?
Yeah. In fact, if you click on it, I was fooling around with it just the other day to see what stuff they had on there. But it was like a Sunday when they were off. So there was no one at the Wall Street Journal on a Sunday.
That's interesting.
You flick through. But during the week, they have all that live content. You know, I subscribe to, you know, they are in the New York Times on my iPad. So you'll see the embedded videos there. And, of course, they do their live shows throughout the day on Wall Street Journal.
I didn't know they were doing live on the Apple TV. That's good.
Apparently, Al Jazeera is live on the Roku, according to the chat room.
That I knew.
Oh. Yeah. Now it's Al Gore's Al Jazeera.
Al Gore's. Or Al Gore Zero, we call it.
Al Jazeera. Yeah.
Well, that's a great example, though. The current TV situation is a great example of the no one watching problem.
You're in TV. Tell us about it.
Well, I mean, I think it's one of those things where I'm confused by sort of like what Time Warner did, right? I mean, Time Warner pulled off.
Right.
It was sort of a Trojan horse thing, saying, well, we're not going to put Al Jazeera on these particular channels. We're going to keep an open mind and maybe we'll go back and do it later. And yet in New York City, Time Warner Cable is showing Al Jazeera, but they're doing it because Al Jazeera ponied on the backs of another cable company. They sort of came in like a Trojan horse and got on. But, you know, what Time Warner and these other cable providers are saying is, hey, we've got, you know, 800, 900 channels or whatever, and these top tier channels way, way up high. If no one's watching your channel, we're going to bump you off now. We're tired of fooling around,
right,
and we're going to bump you off. And they're starting to rotate in new and different channels all the time to try to give other people an opportunity. The problem I have with it, though, when you say that no one's watching current, I bet more people are watching current TV than were watching some of the ridiculous – there's like a random Filipino history channel or something way up in, you know, 900. So,
just to fill people in, current was sold this week to Al Gore and others had started the channel some years ago. They were on 60 million homes, which is a large number of – a big percentage
of
the cable.
They were available to 60 million homes.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean they were on more than two homes.
Their average viewing was 45,000 prime time.
Which is about Tech TV's numbers.
Were they that low?
Yeah.
Wow. That's very
– You were the number one guy on Tech TV, and you were hitting 45.
I think the screensavers got up to 175,000.
I've never heard that.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, we're doing a lot better either way. We're doing a lot better
on that's
Twit
the point,
than we ever did
you don't
on
have
either.
Any control over the other stuff. They would make you not wear a Hawaiian shirt. That's the thing that galled me the most. I watched this. You had a great show, and then you were controlling it, and then all of a sudden some suit comes up and says, hey, take off the Hawaiian shirts, Leo.
Well, because they couldn't make a living with 45,000 anymore than Current can make a living with 45,000.
No, you can't.
The interesting thing is, Al Jazeera has never been able to get on U.S. cable, probably because they're perceived as a terrorist news network, which is not true,
years
of course.
Ago.
But
actually, not the coverage isn't bad.
No, it's very good. I think probably the real reason is international news, and the cable companies probably rightly believe that Americans don't care about it.
Most Americans
news.
Don't.
Nevertheless, I thought it was a little disappointing that Time Warner just said, okay. By the way, this was in the deal. This was in their contracts with Current, with I think all of the cable companies.
Yeah,
change of ownership means we can reassess this
right,
deal.
Right. Well, their deal is just to put the screws to them.
Deal.
They pull it off. And they say, okay, now bribe us with some serious money and we'll put you back on. This is a complete...
Is that what happened, Clayton?
It's all down to money because there's no... If they're being hypocritical here, I'm not sure if they're being hypocritical or not. I mean, it seems to me when you've got Chinese state television... Oh, did I just drop off?
You're coming and going, but you're all right. We can still hear you.
You're just not moving.
Oh, that's all right. I like to freeze every now and again.
Yeah.
They have Chinese state television.
Right.
CCTV. Come on. If you really want to talk about what Chinese state television says.
Or Russia Today, for that matter.
Yeah, what propaganda they're putting out. I mean, you know, if anything, Al Jazeera has fought back against that stereotype from years ago. And, of course, they had some hosts that said some questionable things back in the day. And they did good coverage of the Arab Spring when really very few other channels were able to.
I'll tell you, I was watching Al Jazeera on the web, not CNN, not Fox, not MSNBC. It was Al Jazeera's coverage that I was watching, and I had to watch it on the internet. Because it wasn't available on U.S. television.
Right. Yeah. Streaming live on the iPad is how we were able to see some of the stuff that was coming out of Tahrir Square. I mean, no one else, you know, if you were watching Twitter, that's how anyone was able to
Absolutely.
See it.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Let's take a break. We're talking with Clayton Morris of Fox and Friends, the Al Jazeera of the right. I had to say that. And it's not true.
I
don't even know what Clayton's politics are. He's a fabulous fellow, and that's all I care about.
He's a handsome man.
A good-looking fellow, too. Yeah. And he just wishes he weren't here right now.
I call BS all around. I call BS all around. I have no agenda.
You have no agenda. Now, Jerry Purnell is also here, and I'm going to ask him a little bit about NASA's plan to drag an asteroid into the moon's orbit. Because Jerry is into space.
I haven't heard this story.
I haven't either. Maybe Jerry knows all about it. It's straight off the web at newscientist.com. NASA mulls plan to drag asteroid into moon's orbit. They want to build a robotic spacecraft to grab a small asteroid, place it in high orbit. It would cost about $2.6 billion. It's a little more than the Curiosity. Could be completed by the 2020s. Then you put somebody there, it becomes a space station. We'll be living on the moon any minute now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds right.
Right, Jerry?
It'd be easier to live on the moon than it would be to live on that asteroid. But I wrote about all this in A Step Farther Out back in the 80s, you know.
I know. When are we going to have... I want the elevator.
The elevator's done.
It's going to take a while. That one's harder to do.
That's no moon. I like it. Hawk 82 in the chat room. You win. That's no moon.
Hey, Seattle just scored.
They're winning now. They're winning now? Son of a gun. I want RG3.
You know, aren't you a West Coast guy?
I'm a Niners fan, but I have a feeling we'll be facing whoever wins this game.
You'd rather face RG3?
Seattle might be destiny this year.
Yeah, I hate Seattle.
I think they're going to have trouble against Aaron. Especially with this.
Of course, we got to face Green Bay next week.
That's what I'm saying.
That's
Aaron.
Not,
Aaron
yeah.
Rodgers.
Oh, yeah.
The
local boy. He's good.
Yeah, I've noticed.
That guy can run.
Yeah, he can run.
He can
That's
run.
What he does. A real football fan there.
And that's John C. Dvorak of No Agenda fame.
Google No Agenda.
Google No Agenda. I say the same thing. Google Twit. I'm the number one Twit on the internet.
We got six pages.
Really? Before they go to something else?
Yeah.
You picked wisely.
Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah, that was a good name. What happens if you Bing No Agenda?
Bing?
Our show today brought to you by Squarespace.com. You know about Squarespace?
I've heard of them. Yeah. Our No Agenda website is a Squarespace site.
I see. That's why I thought you might have known a little bit about them. This is a go ahead. What is it? NoAgendaShow.com?
Yeah.
Go there and try to bring that site down.
Can't be done.
It can't be done.
I got one for you. Can I give you one too?
Yeah.
I'm into photography, and I said this year I'm going to get better at photography. And I thought, you know, I'm going to fail in public, and I'm just going to play around and blog about it. So I figured there are probably a lot of other people that wanted to fail with me. So I created a photo site. And, of course, Squarespace does a great job with this. So Photography Begins, like Batman Begins, photographybegins.com. And it is great. I mean, the photo stuff that they are able to do, resizing your images on the site is just gorgeous. And the upload, being able to resize the responsive design on so many different sites.
They're great for galleries. It just really is nice. Look at these. Clayton, you're good.
Well, thank you.
I didn't know you were a photographer.
Yeah, this year, I shot my son's second birthday, and it was terrible. That's how I started it. And I just said, I was so embarrassed by the photos. They were blurry. It was terrible. So I figured I'm gonna start really trying to learn this year.
These are great. These are beautiful shots. So here's the deal. Try to bring his site down, photographybegins.com or noagendashow.com. And you won't be able to. If everybody watching this show right now goes to, let's say photographybegins.com. Everybody goes to Clayton's site. Let's everybody go there now and try to bring it down. You can't. And there's a reason for that because, we just brought it down. Oh, no. Squarespace is hosting plus content management system. It's got the greatest software running on their great hosting platform. And by integrating the two, they've done some very sophisticated stuff that means these sites are instantly responsive. When more bandwidth is needed, Squarespace just automate. You don't have to have somebody go, let me go down to the basement. I got to turn a switch, turn on another server for Clayton. No, it just happens automatically. And that's why you just cannot bring these sites down. I don't know of any other hosting that is this good, this reliable, and has this great software on top of it. Because they host the software, too, it's always up to date. There are absolutely no security issues with it. I want you to go to squarespace.com and take a look. There's a get started button if you want to try it free for 2 weeks. You don't need a credit card. You don't need our offer code. Just try it free. Try the templates. They're gorgeous. The auto responsive design that makes sure that you look great on any size screen. It's one of the reasons when you upload an image, they make 7 different thumbnails. So there's always an image that's the right size for the screen that is visiting your site. They have great integration with all the social media, Twitter and LinkedIn and Facebook and on and on and on. It's just so easy. Try to bring it down. Photographybegins.com. You can't because it's a Squarespace site. Now, after the 2-week trial, if you want to try Squarespace, let me tell you, the pricing is right. They've got 2 plans. That's it. They simplified this. 2 plans. There's an $8 a month plan and a $16 a month plan. Don't even worry. Just go to the $16 a month plan because it's such a deal. Unlimited pages, galleries, and blogs. Unlimited bandwidth. Unlimited storage. Unlimited contributors. When you buy that year plan, you're going to get a custom domain name, and they're automatically going to hook it up as part of the deal. It's free. You get all this stuff plus the best support. Lots of webinars and help, forums, all that stuff. Squarespace.com. If you do decide to buy, use our offer code TWIT and the number 1, TWIT1, and you'll get 10% off that first purchase. Squarespace for your exceptional website. That's a pretty good testament that both No Agenda and Photography Begins use that.
I was just able to log on. It's fine. It's running smoothly.
Let me look at the gallery. This is great. Beautiful. And so this is one of their templates. This is so cool. Really is beautiful. I love this. You just click. Look at you, Clayton. What kind of camera do you use?
Sony NEX7 has been one of my go-to ones.
That's a nice camera.
But the Nikon D800 has been...
That's a nice camera. I saw you got that for Christmas. I saw that.
Going to New Zealand in about a month.
Well, you got to look up Trey.
With our friend Trey. Yeah. Oh, good. So I'm going to be there for like 5 days, 5-6 days shooting with Trey. It'll be a lot of fun. I can't wait.
That's an education. Yeah. Awesome. All right, moving along, let's see. Jerry, did you know that NASA was going to move an asteroid into orbit? I don't know exactly what the purpose of that is.
Well, the purpose is not the same. To begin with, the story says that some people are thinking about it.
Oh, okay.
Considering that I wrote about doing this in 1982, it's probably true that they're still thinking about it. And eventually we're going to do it. Because 90% of the resources available to the human race are not on this earth, and you're going to have them at some point. I mean, Arthur Clarke said it pretty simply, if the human race survives, then for most of its history, the word ship will mean spaceship.
Right.
Otherwise, we're just not going to be here.
Right.
But as to whether or not you could do it for $2.6 billion, I don't think NASA could do anything for $2.6. NASA can't even pay its own salary for $2.6 billion in a year. That's been the big problem, is they have this huge standing army of people who don't do anything but think. If you want to have that done, if the Congress were to say prize of $4 billion for the first company that put an asteroid in orbit outside the moon's orbit around the Earth, you'd probably find somebody could do it for that price, but NASA can't do it.
Privatize space exploration.
No, not exactly. You can't privatize it thoroughly without some supervision because, think about it for a minute, an asteroid big enough to be useful, moving at several thousand feet per second is a city killer. You can't let somebody just do that without some supervision because they don't have to make much of a mistake and you have got a disaster of proportion you can't leave.
Maybe we should just Stavros Blofeld.
Let's just leave asteroids in place, okay? No, don't not touch the asteroid. Stay away from the asteroid.
It's worth doing because you need the resources. I think the first big space resource, and it looks like China and India may beat us to this, is you use chemical rockets to put up a solar power satellite, and now you've got an enormous amount of electrical power, which you use to power laser rockets to put up more rockets, and that starts getting cheap. After a while, you get a positive feedback loop out of it because you can always sell electric power to somebody.
But how do you get back to Earth? What, do you beam it back to Earth?
Oh, yeah, it beams nicely. We tested this, we tested it 40 years ago. Yeah, you have a satellite that basically picks up solar power. The trouble with ground-based solar power is the sun doesn't shine at night.
Right.
And power storage is very expensive. That's the same problem with windmills. Wind doesn't blow enough. So you beam the power down, and it's received on a grid that's maybe, oh, I don't know, say 10 square kilometers would be a huge one. And the grid is just a grid of wires about 4 meters above ground. And cattle can graze under it. It's not dangerous under there because the power density is only a few milliwatts per square meter. And when you're finished with it, you can get an awful lot of power down that way. And once you've done that, with cheap electric power, you can do almost anything.
Yeah, we might need to do this. This sounds good to me. Let's get going. And then we can mine. Then we can go out to the asteroid, mine it, bring back the diamonds, and we'll be rich.
That's what Stavros Blofeld said.
Isn't that the plot of Moonraker?
That's what he's saying. Been there, done that.
By
so,
the way,
Fleming read my book, for heaven's sake, of course. I mean, look, you got to remember, I started in this racket as the science editor for Galaxy Science Fiction magazine, which is quite a while ago.
I love that. And
wrote about this sort of thing all that time during the 60s and 70s. It's all feasible. It's all possible. But it isn't happening right now. I can tell you how to make it happen. You want a moon colony?
Yeah.
Congress States has determined that a lunar colony is in the best interest of the United States. The first American-owned company to place 31 Americans on the moon and keep them there alive and well for 3 years and a day, it will be rewarded the sum of $10 billion tax-free.
We could do that. That's easy.
Bang, zoom.
Bam. Bazinga.
That's the end of the legislation. You don't need NASA to do it. What you need is a market.
Yeah, and you could make a market. You just write a check.
Well, prices work.
Yeah.
I had Gingrich convinced of this, but unfortunately, the time he got to be speaker, he had some other problems, and we never got there.
Yeah, and it might have made him sound a little nutty.
Yeah, he did talk about
it up at the
moon colony.
Yeah,
when he was down there in Florida campaigning,
kind of comes off a little nutty.
Yeah.
How much does it cost to offer a prize which will not be paid unless somebody does it?
Right, easy. And $10 billion over 10 years, that's nothing.
And it doesn't cost anything.
I could do that.
You can.
Let's get together.
I haven't got your
you
kind of money.
You and me, take some of that no agenda money. We'll do this. Let's do this thing.
I'm going to put a kid through college.
FTC says Google is not a monopoly. You may resume business as usual. Google gets a clean bill of health from the Federal Trade Commission. Now they have to face the European Union, and the EU says we're not going to pay any attention to that. But, you know, the big issue, of course, was the idea that Google's search results favored Google's own products.
I think that this changed. I remember when I first, like maybe 5 or 6 years ago, started using AdSense.
Yeah.
I would notice that websites that used AdSense would get higher rankings in their search results than those who did not use AdSense. And I noticed this consistently for a couple of number of years, and then one day it changed, and I think that what the investigation was looking at was what's happening today. And I think Google got a clue and pulled the plug on this trick, whatever it was. I haven't seen it at all lately.
Smoking gun. The other issue, of course, is do YouTube results show up higher in video? Do Google Plus results show up?
What other video is there?
Well, you know, that's probably one of the things they said is, well, who are you going to put? Vimeo?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I just, even if you just pop up on Google News or you put whatever, you know, you just jump in, there's always going to be YouTube videos that are going to pop up right at the top.
Right.
Seems like every time I do any sort of a search, those, you know, anytime I do a search for Kim Kardashian, those videos come right up at the top.
Me too. Oh, me too.
Right. Which is what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Google.
God, I don't know what I'd do without Google.
Let me play devil's advocate on this, though. I mean, who cares? Wouldn't the free market enable us to find a better search engine if this were, you know, we see this perhaps with app.net?
If you look at the decision in a more nuanced way, that's kind of what the FTC is saying is since Google does not have a monopoly, they said it's not a violation of antitrust. So they didn't say they're not doing it. I think they're actually saying what you're saying, Clayton, is since it's not a monopoly, it's not an issue.
Right.
Let me ask you something. Do you think that it's illegal for people to advertise in the Yellow Pages?
No, of course not.
Well, isn't that basically what it is when you advertise on Google?
Well, I guess the question is it an advertisement or is it search results for Google products being ranked more highly than they would be otherwise?
And isn't it a public company? I mean, it's a company after all.
Right.
So if you don't like that every time you go to GoDaddy, you know, you get inundated with chicks taking their tops off, then you go over.
Where's this again?
now, of course, the competitors are Bing and Yelp doesn't like this because Yelp's saying, you know, your Google results show too much Zagat and Google Places and too little of us.
There's a lot of Yelp in the results.
I think it's pretty hard for them to prove that.
Yeah, I've seen more Yelp results than Zagat results.
Yeah.
I mean, well, do you know who uses Yelp?
Who uses Yelp?
Is there anybody here who uses
Yelp? I do. I use Yelp
all
the time.
If you use an iPhone, you're using Yelp.
I use it all the time on my iPhone.
Yeah, because it's kind of
No, I just use it routinely
iPhone.
Just to get a little sense of what I'm getting into when I go to a restaurant, for example.
Yeah. The truth is I think most of us don't have an allegiance to any one system, but look at reviews from whatever shows up, Zagat, Google Places, Yelp.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I did like, you know, when I got some hands-on time before Bing came out with their new, revised setup. It was 4, 5, 6 months ago now. You know, about 2 months beforehand, I got to play with it for quite a while, and while it was still in beta. And I have to say, I really liked it. But I just don't – maybe it's just the convenience. I've got the Google universe sort of tied together with everything. Right. You know, am I going to jump over there?
All right. But now, having said that, Google does something that is obviously anti-competitive. They block maps on Windows phones. I mean, that is so – now, they said, well, we did it because we test browsers – and on the old Windows phones, the browser experience wasn't good enough.
That's an old Microsoft tactic, yeah. By the way.
So we've decided to block it. Now. And then, of course, as soon as the articles came out, you know, people using Windows Phone 8 said, well, what the hell? Like, not only is there no Google Maps app, but I can't do it on the browser. Google said, now they're saying it was a product decision, but we've reassessed the browser speed on Windows Phone 8. It's fine. We're going to turn it back on.
Ah, sweet.
Do you buy that? Google's been acting a little bit anti-Microsoft. Remember, they turned off Exchange Active Sync, which means that you can't use Google Calendar and Google Contacts with the Windows phone. Microsoft, you know, they had to license EAS from Microsoft, and so it's not an unreasonable thing for them to say, we're not going to pay for this.
Right.
Why should we pay for this? Use IMAP, use CalDAV, use CarDAV. These are open standards. We support those. Why are we paying you a license fee?
I think there's a feud going on between these two companies, obviously.
But there's clearly a feud.
Yeah. I don't know what's going to come of
Scroogled.
Of
but I'm curious what
Scroogled
I'm curious
is about. Hilarious, yeah.
There's no real explanation as to what version of Windows Phone or Internet Explorer on Windows Phone wasn't compatible with, because their argument was that it wasn't WebKit-based and therefore it wasn't compatible. Google says this is going to change. But
right.
I was saying, was it Windows Phone 8?
It was 8.
7.5?
8.
Because that goes back to sort of what Danny Sullivan was talking about as part of Google's weird statement on this, is that Maps compatibility with mobile browsers to make sure that they deliver the best experience for their users. And the IE mobile test on mobile browsers, the IE mobile test, wasn't a great Maps experience according to Google. But that's not really true. And they're not really talking about exactly what version it was. Some part of the experience apparently was faulty.
They supported Windows Mobile. That's what's interesting, which is really a crappy browser.
Google hasn't said. I mean, they haven't right. said, was it, you know, A9 for mobile?
And why all of a sudden now? Mary Jo Foley, who hosts our Windows Weekly show, said she asked Google, and the Google representative said the redirection for Windows Phone users has always been in place. But she and others said, wait a minute. No, I've been using it. For at least the past year plus. So what is going on? So Danny wrote and posted the article at midnight that day. And he has actually a postscript on it. And he says, if you go to maps.google.com on an HTC 8X or a Lumia 900... You don't get maps. You get routed to Google. However, if you go to maps.google.co.uk, you get maps.
Huh.
You go to the British version. And as Mary Jo Foley said, he said, yeah, I was pretty sure I'd been to Google Maps on these phones as well, but the problem is nobody took a screenshot. It's a puzzlement. In summary, Danny says, I don't think Google changed anything. I just think a few realized it was this way before, including myself.
Hello?
Hey, Jerry. Still no luck with Jerry, so this would be a good time to take a break. What do you say? We're going to talk about Lantronics. We do not have, believe it or not, we do not have a Tom Merritt the week ahead.
Oh, no.
Tom has moved to L.A.
He has?
And left us.
What about Eileen? Where did she move with him?
She got a job. That's why he moved. She got a job at YouTube down there at the new creator space.
LA, you get lazy.
Yeah, you know that beautiful. They built a beautiful studio for YouTubers to use.
YouTubers.
Is that not. That sounds like a potato.
Yeah, it does. I got a couple YouTubers growing in the backyard.
What do you call a person who posts regularly on YouTube? Not a YouTuber.
I would call him that.
I think a YouTuber, they're couch potatoes. It's a new kind of couch potato.
Yeah.
It's a YouTuber.
So they moved to L.A., so she's working for YouTube, making big money.
Yep. Tom has a new house with Fios, an incredible Fios.
Oh, that's where he got the Fios. He didn't get it in Oakland.
No. He got in L.A. And so he's going to be Skyping into TNT. But I guess because of the move, he hasn't yet set that up. But at some point, I hope. Jason Howell's, by the way, running the board today because Chad is already in Vegas.
Yeah.
Jason Howell, who is a part of TNT and, of course, produces the show. What's the plan, Jason? Do you know? Is he going to do the week ahead?
As far as I know, the week ahead, that's not going to change because we're still going to do TNT 5 days a week. And, you know, when we're done with that on Fridays, he'll probably do the week ahead.
Okay.
He just wasn't on this Friday, this Thursday or Friday.
So that's why.
Because of the move.
And there's no best of Twit this week. No one of those house ads that you talk about.
No house ad?
No house ad.
You know, I became enamored with these house ads.
Well, there was nothing good this week. So we decided you can't do a best of.
No.
So next week, we hope there'll be something to cheer. I think that joke, maybe.
You can use that.
Let's just use that for the best of Twit.
It's timing.
Our show today brought to you by Lantrox. Have you ever done this? Have you ever tried to get your USB printer working with your network? Or maybe tried to print from an iPad or an iPhone to your printer? It is not easy. It is complicated. Sometimes you have to get special software. I've got a way to do it that is so great. It's so easy. It's the Lantronix X Print Server. And I know I've spoken to a lot of people now who have, because of us talking about it on the air, tried it. We had an administrator of a school network who said it had been a nightmare. She has all these network printers, all these USB printers. Bam! Everything worked just kind of out of the box. There's no configuration. It recognizes all the printers. It just works. Now, there's two versions of the XPrint server. There's the home edition for $99.95. And that will handle up to 8 USB and 2 network printers. And then you've got the slightly more powerful Office Edition for $199.95, and that's 8 USB printers and unlimited network printers. So in a home, you don't really probably need the $200 version. The $99.95 version is just fine. And I'll tell you, you don't need any special software on your iPad or your iPhone. It just prints easily. It converts any USB printer into a network printer, which is fantastic, so you don't need to go out and buy a new printer. And that USB printer can be shared over the network with every other computer and not just your iPad. It supports more than 4,000 top-brand network printers. Automatic discovery and setup couldn't be easier. It's really just one push of a button. Open it up, plug it in, and you're printing.
So you don't need to go out and buy one of those special, like, printers.
No, sweet. You don't have to get those printers that are designed. You know, Apple has, I think it's, is it Epson or HP? I think HP.
Yeah, I think it's, yeah.
Yeah, no, you don't have to get any of that stuff. Any printer you got, this will work with. There are other companies, big company with two initials makes something like this. It's four times more expensive. This is better and easier. You're going to love it. It's the XPrint server. Go to xprintserver.com/twit. You'll get free shipping on your order at checkout. You got to use the offer code TWIT when you check out. So offer code TWIT, xprintserver.com. Since they started advertising, we've sold hundreds and hundreds of these. And everyone, I get emails all the time. People say, I wish I'd known about this sooner. I've been tearing my hair out. This is such a good solution. From Lantronix, xprintserver.com/TWIT. Now, Jerry still, I don't know what
happened.
Where's
Jerry? Jerry, come back.
It was some sort of a network hiccup.
I think it's on our end.
We're able to get Clayton back.
It's us. I'm gonna close my email. Whoa. This happened once before. My email package started downloading 20,000 emails and it just killed everybody. So I apologize.
That's not good.
Yeah.
Keep your email in the cloud where it belongs.
I'll keep working on it.
It is in the cloud. Yeah,
the only reason I was at Best Buy was to get this gigabit Ethernet connection for my MacBook Pro. Otherwise.
Because you have to. You're hardwired.
Yeah, I'm hardwired here.
Thank you for
that's
doing
nice.
That.
That's
I
nice.
I really appreciate that. I guess I shouldn't ask because he'll get mobbed by female fans.
Right.
Well, that's what he wants. What hotel are you at?
What hotel are you staying at?
Let's guess,
looking at the lamps. Show us the lamp. Show us the lamp. Just looking at the. Oh, okay. Is that Bellagio? That's pretty fancy.
No, it's not Bellagio.
That's like Aria.
Think
one of them.
The what?
Think brown.
Think brown.
That would be the Four Seasons?
Brown.
No,
the Wynn? No, the Wynn's not brown. No. He wouldn't have brown. He'd have
colors. Is it Mandalay Bay? Show me the bathroom. I can tell from the bathroom.
You got it.
Mandalay Bay.
Love that. That's my favorite hotel in Vegas.
Why?
Is it?
Well, the Four Seasons is in there, you know.
Well, you kind of.
Yeah, the city. And
on the other side.
Yeah. But I, even if you can't afford the Four Seasons, the Mandalay Bay is beautiful. I love the Mandalay Bay.
Yeah, it's really nice.
It's the only negative, it's off the strip. Yeah, it's far away.
Yeah.
We're staying at the Rio because I'm going down for the Media Expo.
The Rio.
Is that a nice hotel? I've never stayed there.
It's all suites.
There you go.
It's not bad.
You know, I don't know if you could build a hotel in Vegas anymore that's not all suites.
No.
Have you seen the Queen of Versailles?
I just saw her walk down the street the other day.
Great documentary about that kind of thing.
It was in San Francisco, as a matter of fact.
Or RG3.
Is he down and out?
No, they're lost. Seattle win? What happened?
Almost, yeah. There, Paul Allen's coming down the side. They're about to.
What's the score?
RG3 went down, blew out his knee.
Score. Yeah. Score.
24-14.
Oh, kills me. Kills me.
So they scored 14 points and they couldn't score again? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, and RG3's knee went out.
Well, you can't win.
He was taking a lot of shots in the first couple of innings. So I was
innings.
Yeah.
I think you were joking, but I had the sense you're not.
They were throwing at his head.
So what do we got? They beanballed a guy. So what do we got here?
This is our new Twit mugs. These are going to go back on sale soon. So let me ask. This is a little while we're working on Jerry. By the way, that's all this is. It's a little Rorschach test.
Yeah.
This is called a spooner mug because it's got a little.
Spoon,
and it's it stores with the spoon.
Yeah, so you,
and that's a smaller. That's for the ladies, and this is a little bit larger.
So you go like this. Oh my!
Well, that's exactly what I thought.
Yeah.
Why would you want? Because in my opinion, a mug is a perfect spoon holder. What do you need? What do you need a hole in the handle for?
What do you want to? What? It's just made out of porcelain. This thing.
Well, of course,
no, I think that's not a bad idea. You know.
You like that idea?
Yeah, because, you know, then you don't want to lay the spoon. Let's say you're at one of those, like, diners, and you're sitting there at the bar having
You don't want to put it on the bar.
You don't want to rest it on the bar, and then you don't want the spoon in your mug, because then it's shoving in your eye the whole time.
Okay.
You need a little cubby for it.
Clayton is voting for the spoon.
Well, we'll send him one.
Yeah, we got Jerry back. By the way, these are going back on sale. People asked us, and we are going to put these back on sale. These are the special Twit mugs. $20 for two. Hmm. You get your choice. You can have the spooner, the big one, or mix and match.
Do I get one?
You can have that. You want this? Yeah.
I don't want that one.
I'll keep the spooner mug. No, yeah, of course you can.
It's a nice little mug.
Of course you can have
Made in China?
It's China. Where else are you going to make it? Here's the lamp, by the way. Right there. That's the giveaway. That's the Mandalay Bay signature lamp.
They give that away. What do you mean?
It's a tell.
Oh, yeah.
To guess where you are.
Jerry, are you back?
No one figured out how the hell to turn it on. That's the tell.
Okay, I think
I don't know what happened.
I think it was our fault.
Oh, well, I ended up resetting the iMac just in case.
Well, you look great, and I think we had a network congestion error here.
Oh, my.
With all the pipes you got running into this place, it's shocking.
What are you doing, Clayton, not to get sick at CES this year? I'm a little worried because the flu is back.
D3.
What?
Yeah, I took a flu shot.
Three.
D3. You had a flu shot?
Yeah, I mean, because of the kids, you know, we have a 7-month-old, and so we got the flu shot. And this year, after that Wall Street Journal article came out about a month and a half ago saying that it's worse, it's going to be really bad. It's earlier than ever this year. And
they always say that.
It's 90% effective this year. Last year's dosage of the flu shot was like 35 or 40% effective. This is like the 90% strain of it, so I've been fine so far.
I didn't get the shot, and I'm going to Vegas. I'm going to be with 100,000
Get some
close friends.
Get some Relenza and pack it in your suitcase. If you get
Howie Mandel,
just don't shake hands. No,
don't shake hands.
You gotta shake hands.
Put one of those face masks on.
You can't wear a rubber glove when you put it. Actually, when somebody wants to shake your hand, put the rubber glove on just before shaking it,
and then say "Hey, Stavro Blofeld, pleased to meet you."
Yes,
like you're about to make
excuse
a
excuse the glove.
Apple,
I think you're mad.
I am mad. I'm crazy. I don't want to go.
Just hug.
I'm going to get sick.
With that attitude, you will get sick.
No, that's superstitious. It doesn't have anything to do with what I think is going to happen. It's called germs, John. We figured it out now.
What the little deals that
microbes. They figured that out. It's not the air.
I wouldn't go to this show if I had your attitude.
Not to. Apple apparently did offer to buy Waze. It went back and forth all week, the battle of the TechCrunch bloggers.
Hey, okay. So I took a Ford up to Washington and back.
Yeah?
As part of reviewing.
Good.
I'm reviewing Fords.
Which one?
The C-Max.
Oh, that's nice. The hybrid, yeah.
It's actually peppy.
Yeah, of course it is. They have lots of torque.
Yeah, well, you know, that's a new engine. Is that just a...
The EcoBoost.
Well, no. It's a Lewiston. I can't remember the name of it, but it's an old engine from the 1890s that all the hybrids use because it's very compatible with electric motors. Yeah, it's very interesting. But anyway, so what was I going to talk about? I forgot.
You were going to talk about Waze because you used Waze
to
get
to... So here I go. I'm using Google Maps. I'm using the thing that's in the car. I'm trying it. I cannot use Waze.
Why not?
Because this guy just always wants you to do stuff, and you're trying to drive, and it wants you to do this, and wants you to do that. Oh, send us a note about the cop that's standing there. I mean, it's just too much work.
It is a lot of work.
I gave up on it. I think it sucks.
It's a crowdsourced map app, and what's nice about it, you can ignore what it's asking you to do. What's nice, it'll say there's a police officer ahead. They'll say there's debris in the road. There's an accident. There's a car by the side of the road.
I think it's inconvenient. I don't like the way don't like it at all.
It's fantastic. We drive up from the Poconos down. We were testing out Waze, and boy, it knew that there was going to be this traffic jam up there, that there was a little pocket of construction in a really rural area, though, like in this really backwoods area.
And if you got somebody in the car with you using it, yeah, it's fantastic. But if you have to use it yourself...
Yeah, it's dangerous. I agree with you. It is a little dangerous.
It's a little too fun.
You start getting there. You start like, I'm going to add a little construction hat to the guy, and I'm going to let people know that there's a cop over there. And then before you know it, you're a part of the accident.
And you get points for that.
Right. Oh, they gamified it so you get points?
You get points.
Oh, do you get a badge,
too? No, you do. You get a custom – you can tell somebody who's been on Waze a long time because they have custom icons.
Oh, isn't that something?
It sucks me in.
Yeah, I hate gamification.
Oh, it's everywhere.
But it is all about the data. I mean, and this is something that Apple's maps are terribly lacking in, of course, and so as they try to iterate it. But, you know, at the beginning, I mean, they had been partnering with Waze in the beginning, and a couple of the companies, of course, they were partnering with TomTom, Waze, and who else? There's somebody else that they had in the mix.
I think Yelp is in there for POI, right?
Think so.
I don't know about traffic.
I don't know
how Yelp would be with traffic.
But so they had a partnership with them. So they're pulling some of Waze data. And they still are, presumably. I guess maybe they need more of it, or they just needed to own them. But I guess their offer wasn't high enough.
They offered $500 million. Waze said we're worth $750 million. At least that's what people are reporting. We don't know what really happened. I think it would be a mistake for any amount of money to go to Apple, because I think that they would be subsumed and
ruined,
just as Lala and Siri have been. Oh. I think Waze is doing great. Now, by the way, you know that you can just wave your hand and then talk to it. You don't have to touch it in any way.
That on the chat room, too.
Well, I use Waze. That's how I do it.
You wave your hand at what?
At the phone. I have my phone on my dashboard.
I'm using an Android.
Same thing. You wave your hand at the phone, and then it says, what? And you go, report an accident, and you can interact with it. You don't have to touch it.
Yeah.
Huh.
But it's so fun to touch.
Well, that's the problem. I admit it's distracting because it's cool. They've done a great job with it.
I think it's also Mickey Mouse. It's got these little pretty icons. It's too pretty. I mean, it's got all these little things.
Somebody in the chat room said during the holidays they had dancing candy canes on the
map. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
That isn't good.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. That's not good.
It's kind of.
And that is supposed to be legal in California.
But you just can't touch your phone.
Yeah.
But you can have dancing candy canes on the dashboard.
Thank you, RGC.
I think somebody's lost their mind.
20 million users, close to 30 million. One of the issues is that monetization is weak. I think there are some ads that pop up from time to time. That's another bad idea.
Yeah, but I've done it, yeah.
It's not supposed to pop anything up unless you're stopped.
Well, that's... Still, you stop, you say, wait a minute, which way am I supposed to go? Left or right? Let me look at the phone.
There's this flood of things, like there's a traffic jam.
I think Apple has a trouble, though, admitting that they don't have the data.
Well, they better, because they don't.
They don't, and they'd like to say that, look, we've got millions of iPhones out on the roadways, and soon enough we'll have the same sorts of data that we're being able to pull from these other companies.
No.
But you wonder if it ends up being sort of like it's almost like a Dropbox scenario, right?
Right.
They make the offer, you're a service rather than a platform, and you're a feature. Isn't what Steve Jobs said to Dropbox? You're a feature.
Yeah. He was wrong, I think. Dropbox has become a lot more than a feature in a lot of people's minds.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
But Apple, is it enough for them to provide data?
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then I think with the privacy concerns, there's a lot of legitimate concerns about using services like that. Because they can look at your stuff.
They could.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't put stuff on there that they want you to. You know, be careful what you post.
So did you like this, that starting January 1st, Do Not Disturb did not work on the iPhone until January 6th?
Yeah. It's still on.
It should have fixed itself by now.
No, flip it on and off. Let me see. I flipped it off on my iPhone, and I really use it. I mean, as you know, when I do a morning show and stuff, getting
you up
that
hour. You
have to
get up really early, yeah.
Random game center things coming in to, you know, to play play letterpress in the middle of the night. And when I flipped it on, no, it's still not. Still giving me issues.
Well,
it's the 7th. No, it's supposed to be tomorrow, right?
Oh, it's not today. Tomorrow. It's tomorrow. Oh, yeah. You're right. 8th. It's tomorrow, yeah. So Ars Technica, you know, I thought this is a good problem for programmers, a challenge. What programming flaw is there that would cause this thing to fail January 1st through 7th?
That is a good challenge.
You know, what could that be? And it turns out there was a really interesting article, Ask Ars. Jackie Cheng figured it out, I think. It has to do with the ISO week numbering system, which is a standard system for numbering the week. And apparently it's not an unusual bug. The reason most phones don't suffer from this is people program around it. It's a known flaw. And apparently Apple's programmers just didn't know that or didn't fix it.
That's not good.
Yeah.
Well, surely they must have known it last year.
No, because this is a new feature that came out in iOS 6 as of this year. In fact, here's on GitHub, here's some sample code that does it. So apparently they used lowercase yyyy instead of uppercase y. You know, I've been telling them that for years. Why are you using the lowercase yyyy?
What a blunder.
In most cases, yyyy is the same as yyyy, except, you know, in some cases.
Apparently this one, this case is one of the
apparently
examples.
Apparently YYYY is the Gregorian calendar.
Oh, geez. I mean, that is, I thought everybody knew that.
Come on. I thought the Mayans had something to do with it.
Oh, my God. It's the strangest thing. I'm sure it will be fixed before next year. But
well, didn't they have 2 years in a row Apple had problems with the alarm not working after New Year's?
That's right. Maybe the same problem.
I always get stuck, you know, I'm always working the holidays. So, you know, on my birthday, I'm drinking on New Year's Eve and then, you know, wake up to try to go to work on the first of the year. And I know half the staff uses their iPhones to wake
That's
up.
That's a good excuse.
I can't understand that.
I'm late. My iPhone broke.
I always find it weird that people use their iPhone. My son does this.
An alarm.
Yeah.
Everybody does this. What do you mean weird?
But Would you rather rely on one of these things?
Any reason I would want to use my dang telephone as an alarm?
What do you want to use? A Sony Dream Machine? What are you talking about?
I have a little folding alarm clock I take with me on trips, for God's sake.
You got a phone. Do you also wear a wristwatch?
He's got a real, there's a real alarm thing there. I mean, it seems to me, I want something that rings.
That alarm clock, first of all, that's set to sometime 3 years ago. You know, the hotel clocks are never set right. And then they're on some awful station. So you've got, you know.
That gets you up.
Iron Man wakes you up in the morning.
Zoo. There is this wake up call service.
Oh, I hate that. I don't want to talk to somebody at 4 in the morning.
I always set the alarm and I get
Hello,
the wake up because sometimes
Dvorak.
They forget the call.
This is your wake up call.
I like when they say, would you like a second call? I always take it. Yeah,
give me another one.
Those are the good hotels.
I think you guys are just old farts. Everybody today uses their phone as a watch and an alarm.
I use it
clock.
As a watch.
Yeah,
I use
my backup alarm now is not another. It's my iPad. So now that they added the alarm
on the
iPad, I use it. That's my second alarm.
Exactly.
Is the iPad. And I ask Siri. I just, you know,
Siri, wake me up.
Yeah, exactly what you say.
Yeah.
Set alarm for 4:45, you know. And I'm done.
Good luck.
Seriously?
Okay. I set an alarm for 4:45 a.m.
That's done. Awesome. See that? That's
unbelievable.
Welcome to the 21st
So what did that
century.
Thing cost again?
It uses it for other things, too.
That's the world's most expensive alarm clock.
No, but you use it for
other
things.
No, that's the only thing I use it for. I only use the iPad for an alarm clock.
Was that a mini or a maxi? That was a mini.
That's the mini, yeah.
You like the mini?
I use this on the set all the time now. I pretty much don't even use the large one. I have the large one at home, like on my desk.
Yeah,
for
it's
maybe
too big.
Is that anything like the Nexus 7?
Yeah, it's just like the Nexus 7, except it's square.
Oh, interesting.
It's 4.3. But I think, you know, this is funny because this is feels heavy. The old iPad feels heavy and big now after using the mini for a while. I like the mini. It's not Retina.
Yeah,
it's the
see.
Only negative. I wish they'd made it a Retina.
It is funny when you pick up the big one again and you realize the difference in screen resolution.
You're like, oh. Yeah. So the trick is throw out your iPad 3 and 4.
Oh, right.
Because then it's just making you want something you can't have.
It's become like a media device for me now. It just sits on my desk at home, and I'll stream like using the Verizon Fios app. If I want to watch some television while I'm doing some work, I'll stream it up there in my office or put on Slingbox or something like that and stream it. I really don't pick it up for anything else other than that anymore.
This thing is huge compared to the Nexus 7.
Says the iPhone 5 is the worst of the best smartphones.
The worst of the best.
It is.
It's the prettiest.
Their favorite phone is the LG Optimus G, which is the same as the Nexus 4, right?
That's the one.
Galaxy S3. Actually, I like my Note 2. That's the one I use. You have a Nexus 4, right? Or no, the old Nexus.
I have the Nexus. Yeah.
The iPhone is lower than the Droid Razr Max. I wouldn't say that. That Droid Razr Max is not a very good phone. The Droid Razr HD and the Galaxy S3 all beat the iPhone on Verizon.
On what was this survey? Who did this?
Consumer Reports.
Well, what are the criterion for best?
Well, they didn't really say. Actually, it's interesting. They didn't. They gave them numerical reasons, but ratings, but they didn't really say. You know, kind of overall, what were the issues? I don't know.
I mean, this is the problem with Consumer Reports.
I like Consumer Reports, but that is a failure.
Yes, I'd say.
And I have 10 different columns of moving numbers like that, and none of them. When you fail, then to look at it as a whole, I mean, that's a huge failure.
Right.
I think that's what Wirecutter is doing really great.
I like Wirecutter. It's Brian Lamb. Yeah.
Yeah. Because he's given, you know, he's not trying to do it with these columns and these random numbers and trying to give you an overall. And then not looking at the thing as a whole.
He just says what's best.
Yeah.
I don't always agree with him, but most of the time I do, actually. That's very simple. And then if you want more, I think what Ryan Block is doing at GDGT.com is great because they take all the reviews and they synthesize them into a number.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of how I go see a movie, right? It's like Rotten Tomatoes.
It's like Rotten Tomatoes, exactly.
Rotten Tomatoes is a great site. Although, they gave that Bond movie some ridiculously high rating.
It was a terrible movie, wasn't it?
It was a terrible movie.
The only people in the world who think Skyfall was terrible.
My son up in Washington, who's a great movie critic, thinks it sucked. It had the plot holes. It was corny. It didn't have any Bond stuff.
He dies at the end, and then they don't explain it. Now he's back.
It's James Bond.
No, but at least in the other James Bond, when he dies, they explain, he wasn't really in the casket or that was a trick. In this one, they shoot him. He falls off a train 800 feet to his death. And then the next scene, he's back.
And there's no explanation.
There's no explanation.
No, the next scene, he's been drinking for 3 months.
Well, that's the other thing. I don't like to see a James Bond that isn't James Bond. He's like old and tired.
Yeah.
He can't pass the tests. He can't shoot straight.
Yeah.
And then Miss Moneypenny appears. It's like, no, he's old now. Moneypenny's been there since the beginning. Why is she suddenly here
the
now?
The whole thing is terrible. It's one of the worst movies. I'm in total agreement with you on this horrible movie. And Rotten Tomatoes, 95.
But they were right about Django Unchained. That's a great movie.
It's a new power source. It's called you harness that energy from Ian Fleming spinning around in his grave.
In his grave. Definitely.
Perpetual motion Fleming.
Yeah.
So anyway, Gadget, to get back to tech, Gadget does the kind of the same thing. They take reviewers and real people. It is just like Rotten Tomatoes, actually.
Well, that's a good thing.
Rotten Tomatoes is pretty much accurate.
I agree, except for this one instance.
Well, I don't think it's their fault.
No, it's true. They're neutral.
I never disagree with their reviews. Yeah. In fact, we saw Looper the other night.
Great movie.
Great movie.
How many movies are you going to see?
You're 95%?
I'm watching a lot of TV, and then I'm going to the movies when I'm not watching TV. I'm so sad and lonely that I just,
apparently,
that's all I do all the time.
Huh.
I buy a big bag of popcorn. You could find me in the fourth row on pretty much any movie.
My God, and now with kids, I mean, there's no way. So I have to be more discerning about the movies.
No, that's right.
I don't go see them. If there's a movie that has under a 70% on Rotten Tomatoes,
is that your limit? Mine's 62.
62?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why 62?
I find if a movie is 62 or higher, I generally like it. If it's 62 or lower, I generally don't like it.
Huh.
Yeah. I have to pay more attention. I don't see them enough. My sample right now. Yeah. I used to go like every week to a movie. I feel terrible. I haven't seen. I don't get to see them all that often anymore.
You got to get a big screen. You surround sound. It's just as good.
Yeah, just do it at home.
This is good. Yeah. I got the 3D glasses now. I can get a headache at home. It's great.
You're using the real 3D? Real 3D?
You've got the Philips Hue light bulbs. You can set the mood for a romantic comedy.
I do. And if I could just get everything to work together, I could have the curtains open automatically. The lights go down. It'd be great.
You got how big is your screen?
It's not that big. I want to get that Westinghouse, the 110. I want a 4K TV.
You should get one. I'm surprised you didn't buy a 4K. I'm stunned by this.
If you buy the Sony, which is the only one on the market right now, it's only $25,000. I think a good deal.
Oh, yeah, steal.
And it comes with a media server because there's no 4K content. So it comes with a hard drive, a media
with
server.
With some stuff on
with
it.
Something to watch.
Yeah, great.
Because otherwise, there's nothing.
Yeah, is anyone shooting
you
in 4K?
Have lost your mind.
He's got too much money. That's the problem.
I mean, it's nice that you're making a lot of money.
No, I'm joking.
He's not joking.
But for God's sakes, that's a strange way to spend it.
He's not joking.
No, I'm teasing.
No, don't believe
him. $25,000 is ridiculous. I wouldn't buy a TV.
You just wait a year, be 12.5, and you'll buy it.
No, what was the movie setup that you could get in your house that was announced like a week ago, 2 weeks ago, where you could get first-run movies when they're released in the theater at your house for $225,000?
Yes.
That's what you need.
Now, there
it
you
was
go.
So
now
expensive.
You're talking.
Yeah, I remember that. But it was like, so you don't, it's, you know what it's for? It's for people who are so famous, like George Clooney, they can't go to a movie theater.
Right.
But they can afford $250,000 to basically watch first-run movies at home.
And it uses, like, biometrics or some ridiculous thing to make sure that you're the one that paid for it so you can't then screen it for other people.
Can't you bring a bunch of your friends over? Sure you can.
Sure.
Yeah,
like come on over.
Theater in his house.
Actually, it's not that expensive. It's $20,000 a movie.
Yeah, that's a steal. You can't go wrong.
Wait a minute. No, I'm sorry. I got that wrong. So it's $20,000 for the digital delivery system, one-time fee, $500 a movie. And it's, by the way, it's Best Buy and General Electric that's doing this, Universal Pictures.
Gee, people wonder why Best Buy is going out of business.
It's the Prima. You just saw a picture of it if you're watching the video. It looks beautiful. The Prima, they say, expect, here's the $250,000 number, Clayton. They expect to be in $250,000 homes within 5 years.
Oh, please.
It's a niche market, says Adam Fogelson, chairman of Universal Pictures. And he probably talks like this. Precisely because it is a niche market, that upside should come without harming any of our existing partners or revenue streams.
Well,
so niche,
you know,
only
there
five
are
people
these
gonna buy it.
Various luxury theaters, private clubs
Really?
I mean, you talk about niches. Niven brother took us to the Avengers in a private movie studio in a club studio in Pasadena, and they serve drinks and they serve you basically a dinner if you want it, and you have luxury seats, and that would seem to me to make more sense than owning your own studio. I just don't spend that much time in rooms with television sets in them. But it's nice to go to a luxury movie theater once in a while. I'll often pay for ArcLight simply because it is comfortable.
Yeah. And we're getting San Francisco's getting an Alamo draft or tap house, whatever it's called. Yeah. The one in Austin where you can go and you have tacos and drink beer and then watch.
The other night we went to see Lincoln. There's a place out by us in Jersey. It's fantastic. And you
I
have
love
full
that.
Recliners.
Yeah.
Full recliners.
Yeah,
press the button and go way back.
Love
they bring you meals, wine.
Alamo Draft House has become
a niche world. And there is a market for luxury as well as for, I mean, the thing the internet has done is to connect niche suppliers with the niche that it's supplying.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's certainly what's happened with books.
It's an artisanal world we live in.
This is decadence at its worst.
During the middle of the movie, someone was rubbing my feet.
But from my point of view, my backlist is now reaching people who didn't know that it was available, and it's a fairly good, steady source of income for me.
Isn't this what happens, though, when the economy goes in the dumper? There's still a thin veneer.
Yes, people do not want to mix with the hoi polloi.
So those decadent services for that highest end client.
Yeah, you.
Those do well.
Always.
Of course they do. You
understand
apparently.
That when they talk about tax increases, they never talk about a tax increase on wealth. It's always a tax increase on income. It's basically preventing people from becoming wealthy that's the goal of all of this crazy system.
Now, I agree.
Got money. You're not going to have any problems with it. Warren Buffett is still paying lower taxes than his secretary.
That's why we need a wealth tax, ladies and gentlemen. A wealth tax of 1.5%.
That's called distributism.
You got to tax somebody for something. Let's do it that way.
Let's tax Warren Buffett. He can afford it.
Yeah, it's with nothing. It's a spit in the bucket.
So how about this? This is the Guthrie Theater in Minneapolis, home of, I think, Prairie Home Companion, isn't it? They're going to let you tweet from your seats.
Oh, brother.
The Guthrie Theater is offering balcony-level tweet seats, allowing social because, you know, when you go to a theater now, they go on and on about turn off your phone. Don't use your phone. We don't want to see your phone. Do not tweet from your seat. So they said, we're going to make a special area to allow social media users an opportunity to interact during the movie.
Ugh.
I think it's a good idea because, you know what, that's just a promotional. It's promotional. Put them up in the balcony.
It wouldn't be promotional, yes.
Yeah, let them tweet all they want.
Who's behind this, though? Because if you got to think about it, what helps the movie studios is if people are out there tweeting about their movies. If your friends are on social media saying that they loved, they loved Looper, you're more likely to go see it. I wonder if the movie studios are behind this.
I don't know, because you can get the same thing, the opposite effect. This is the suckiest movie I've ever seen. I'm watching. Well, I'm going to walk out.
But you take the bitter with the batter.
It's certainly a great opportunity for spoilers.
Oh, that's good.
I saw James Bond fall 800 feet and die, and then he come back to life.
You saw this.
And he's drunk.
I shouldn't have said that. I take it back. It didn't happen. You've seen this. This is something they run at the Alamo Drafthouse. We were just talking about it in Austin, Texas.
What did it say?
It says, at the Alamo Drafthouse, we have a simple rule. If you talk or text during a movie, we kick you out. Sometimes that pisses the movie talker out. What follows is an actual voicemail. A customer left us after being kicked out.
Because that's how I felt when I went to the Alamo Drafthouse. Okay? You know what? I didn't know that I wasn't supposed to text in your little crappy-ass theater. It was too dark in that place for me to find my seat, all right? I was using my phone as a flashlight to get to my seat. So excuse me for using my phone in USA, United States of America, where you are free to text in a theater. I was not aware that I couldn't text in your theater, all right? I've texted in all the other theaters in Austin, and no one ever gave a f*** about what me I was doing my phone, all right? And it was on silent. It wasn't on loud. It wasn't bothering anybody. You guys, obviously, were being a*** with me, and I'm sure that's what you do, you know, to rip people off. You take my money, and then you throw me out. You know, I will never be coming back to your Alamo Drafthouse.
And that's why I'm so happy to have one.
And I'll tell you, this is another one of the students of the University of Texas
in Austin.
It's probably
UT.
Yeah, I guess.
Go Longhorns.
He's probably majoring in modern manners.
I think that's a good reason to go to the Alamo Drafthouse.
And by the way, you know, I want to, you know, I remember a couple years ago I was always soliciting these 1AA schools to send me a hoodie. North Dakota State Bisons won the 1AA champion.
FCS. No hoodie?
I'm now soliciting a hoodie from North Dakota State.
I'm thinking they have a great buffalo on it.
It's a bison.
Well,
on the run.
That's what we call a buffalo now.
Well, they're the bison, not the buffaloes. I think Montana is the bison.
Yeah, okay.
Just saying, anyone out there?
We're going to take a break.
I used to know the difference between a buffalo and a bison, but I don't think I know it anymore.
Here in America, we have bison, but we call them buffalo.
I think that's true.
No, I was always taught that what we call buffalo are in fact bison, and that there aren't any buffalo in the United States.
Right. But that's what they were shooting when they were driving the train across the prairie, and the cowboys would lean out the window. They were shooting bison.
Yeah,
well, we've got plenty of them over on Catalina Island if you want to go see some.
Oh, they're back, baby. Do you live on Catalina Island?
No, but it's easy to get to.
Oh, I love Catalina. It's beautiful.
It's not a short walk, though.
We actually have a problem
with it. Not a short walk, but it's a pretty short flight.
It's short walk. It's in the water.
I heard that.
Okay. Apparently, you can now hunt bison in Wyoming again.
Yeah.
Because they're getting out of control. They want to hunt those
good
bison.
Good eating, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
But that's farm-raised bison.
No, I don't know. What the wild one's probably pretty good too.
Maybe a little gamey, a little stringy.
Maybe not. Yeah, how you cook them? But bison burger. There you go. You can grind it up. It's not going to be stringy.
Good stuff.
I would think that an animal that size would have to have a fair amount of exercise for the meat to be any good, but perhaps not.
No, Jerry, you're completely wrong. That's why they bring the steer to the cat, the corn barn, and they stuff them with corn without letting them move.
I can go for an Erskine College hoodie.
It depends on what it is how you're cooking it, of course. If you like nearly raw steaks, that's the proper way. But if you tend to like things cooked.
I have a big green egg.
I heard that.
I love my big green egg.
Yes.
You know, do you have a big green egg, Clayton? You seem like a big green egg guy.
Oh, I would. You know, we were up in the mountains, and I saw one of these because I know that Alex Lindsay was talking about it last year. And I said, that's the thing that Alex was talking about.
Yeah.
But we had just bought a barbecue, so I was like,
This is a big green egg.
Mm-hmm. So is this the only thing that would work during an apocalypse?
Yes. In fact, if there's an apocalypse, I'm moving into the big green egg. I'm going to take my emergency kit. I'm getting in the egg, closing the lid. I'll be safe.
Yes, John at Dvorak.org. I'm just telling you right now.
What powers it, Leo?
It's powered by unicorn tears and charcoal.
Charcoal.
It's a charcoal. It's good.
It looks incredibly heavy.
It is 250 pounds. You don't really want to lift it by yourself, as I've tried
to
do several
times.
And so
what is... you have one of these at the house.
I do. Yeah,
you got. What do you cook on it? You can always
steaks,
say that.
Chicken.
You always tell me to come over, and then you're never there.
I don't give you the address.
No, of course not. I know.
You got to come over to the place. Our show today brought to you by, audible.com, folks. You know about Audible. I know about Audible. Jerry knows about Audible because all of the great Pornell Niven novels are on audible.com. In fact, it would be a sacrilege for me to recommend audible.com without showing you the great books like The Gripping Hand, The Mote in God's Eye, Lucifer's Hammer, Footfall, Janissaries, Beowulf's Children, The Secret of Black Ship Island, The Legacy of Hererot. How do you pronounce that?
Hererot.
Hererot.
Hererot, yes. That's the name of the hall that Beowulf, that was being attacked by Grendel. And Beowulf came in and killed him.
I would say I'm a big fan of The Mote in God's Eye. I would say start with Lucifer's Hammer. I love that. That's the one the asteroid hits the Earth.
Yeah.
I like the Earth is destroyed novel genre.
Yeah, I find this crazy that you are into this kind of,
and then we have to rebuild from scratch. You know why I like this? Because you make such a good point, Jerry, in this book that everybody uses technology, but no one knows how it works. So we're kind of living on this thin ice where we can't recreate this stuff because we don't understand it. It's all magic.
It is actually magic.
Well. Look, Leo, I hate to point this out, but the last survey I saw shows that fewer than half the people of the United States know that the Earth goes around the sun once a year.
I know. I saw that, too. I was
so
impressed.
What?
That's right. And, of course, we let them vote, don't we?
I saw
that,
too.
Their vote's as good as yours, worth as much as yours. most people haven't. Most people accept the benefits of civilization in the same way as a kitten accepts milk, and with about the same amount of understanding.
Yeah. Lucifer's hand, the mote in God's eye. This is a great one too, about motes. Didn't your daughter write a kind of a?
My daughter wrote a sort of sequel. It's actually more just a story set in the Mote universe. It's called Outies, and it's very good. A lot of people like it a lot. She wrote it all by herself. I didn't have anything to do with it. Limit and I gave her permission to do it, but beyond that, she was on her own, and she's done it well. Of course, my daughter's a real bright girl, so.
The Gripping Hand is a sequel to the Mote in God's Eye.
Yes, The Gripping Hand is the sequel that Niven and I wrote.
Yeah. This is all on Audible. It means you can listen to these great things. I own them, as you can see, Lucifer's Hammer and The Mote in God's Eye, and I just enjoyed the heck out of them. Here's how
Not
you can get...
Not only that, but I can tell you, I will add to your commercial here, the readings are wonderful. They have chosen really good readers who have obviously read the text before and understand what they're saying, and their inflections are... I mean, it really is better than if I read it.
Oh, yeah.
They understand the text very well, and they know exactly what they want, what we wanted to emphasize and what they didn't.
I think
it's wonderful.
I think you should read
Audible's a good outfit.
You should read the foreword or something, because people should hear your voice. But let me play a little of The Mote in God's Eye and tell you how you can get this. Actually, you can get both Lucifer's Hammer and The Mote in God's Eye free if you go to audible.com/twit2. Audible is, of course, I think you figured this out, audiobooks. 100,000 strong. It's the best audiobook store in the world. I don't know why my clicks are not working now. I think something's wrong with my my browser, so I can't play you the audio. But just go ahead and do it yourself. So go to audible.com, search for Pornell. You'll find those books and many more, fiction, nonfiction, a great collection of science fiction and fantasy. They have, of course, history. I read a lot of history and nonfiction Audible. I'm a big fan. I feel like I'm learning something while I'm driving in the car. I'm working out at the gym. It's a great way to use your time. Here's the deal. Get two books free at audible.com/twit2. And in honor of Mr. Pornell, I would say get to...
...with low and urgent voices. Surgeons assisting at a difficult operation. The gray steel compartment was a confusion of activities. Each
this is the
orderly
God's
by
eye.
Itself, but the overall impression was of chaos. Screens above one helmsman's station showed the planet
I'm telling
below
you, when you can stop
ships.
Now, but when you start listening to this, you just get sucked right in, and you're going to drive around the block four or five more times just because you don't want to get out of the car. It's that, I mean, I'm not kidding. It's
Jerry is contributing to the carbon dioxide problem in this country.
I thought it was cows, and it's just long novels.
Oh, it's terrible.
It's going to be cap and trade with these books.
What do you think about this? Samsung says it's not. Now, some people said Samsung's going to abandon Android. They're so pissed off at Google for buying Motorola. But they have confirmed they're going to make handsets based on a new version of Linux called Tizen.
Yeah, this is one they're working on.
As the Linux Foundation. I mean, this is a kind of more official Linux.
Right, there's another one, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not as trivial as these guys
Samsung
think.
Said the company plans to unveil competitive Tizen devices within this year. Is it the end? I mean, Samsung makes so much money off Android right now. Is it the end of the Samsung-Android alliance, or is this just... one more thing to do.
Mm. Yeah, we'll see. It's an experiment. We'll see what happens.
Tizen,
have you played? One more thing to add to their mix.
Have you played with Tizen? Has anybody played with it?
No.
Ubuntu has announced Ubuntu for phones.
Yeah.
Firefox has an OS. Yeah. I mean, this is everybody's looking at the success of Android and saying, hey, there's an opportunity here. Tizen has been put on a number of phones. I think there's a video... I saw of Tizen running on a Nexus or something.
But Google doesn't really make any money on Android.
No.
So what's the incentive for them to... What's the incentive? I mean, Apple's incentive is the hardware.
Well, Google, that's not strictly true. Google wants you to use Android because they make money when you do use it because, of course, searches and all the... You know, Google has use Gmail.
Samsung going to do their own search engine? I don't think so.
No, they'll use Google. That's right. So but they may not use Google Mail. In fact, Samsung on its phones already puts its own mail, its own calendar. So they may start pulling people out of the Google universe.
And then maybe Google will come in again and make even better apps on Tizen than they will on Android.
That was a great article. iOS. That was a great article. A number of people have written now saying, I don't even use Apple's apps anymore. Google is a Trojan horse on the iPhone. Use Gmail, use Google Maps, use Google Calendar, Google Contacts. Why? You know, they're better than the Apple Maps. And G Plus is like is one of the most gorgeous iOS apps of all.
Yeah, I use that all the time. If you ever just glance sort of at my first two home screens, I've got Google Search, Google Maps, Google Plus.
A good point by one of our Rorks. Forking is what Linux does best.
It's true. It's true. And I'm sure there's a joke in there, but I'm just, I've had too much whiskey to.
Yeah, it's got to do with contortionists.
That was the best. Sprint is also going to do pay-as-you-go service. T-Mobile announced that they were going to start doing that this year. I guess if you're not Verizon and AT&T, you got to find an angle. Judge can't order. Of course not. Judge can't order a Yelp user to edit his negative review.
That's funny.
A Virginia woman, after firing a contractor, left a scathing review of the contractor. A Virginia Supreme Court has overturned a preliminary injunction. The contractor sued, saying you've got to change that review. The original court said yes. The high court said no. Judges shouldn't be able to edit or halt speech before a legal case has run its court. So the injunction is no good, but they will continue the suit. The court had ruled in December last month that the homeowner was required to edit her harsh comments on Yelp and Angie's List.
Well,
that's not a great precedent.
No, unless she was libeling them or something, I don't see any reason to.
That's the problem, isn't it? There are a lot of trolls out there who think that it's a great thing to just do a big negative review of anything, something that gets them some attention. I'm not sure they have much effect on readers because I think readers finally
don't
pay that much attention to the reviews anymore.
Well, we throw out
because there's so many of the just silly bad reviews written in bad grammar, and you begin to think, well, if that's the way this guy writes, then why do I want to pay attention to his opinions? But it's a real problem sorting out libel from, some books deserve a bad review. I suppose I may have even written one of them. But I don't think that books deserve bad reviews simply because somebody doesn't like the views that the author has on some subject utterly irrelevant to the book.
Well, I'm reminded of the review of The French Laundry, a one-star review given by a vegan.
They served too much meat.
Because they didn't have any, they didn't have a special vegan menu.
In this case, she went on to accuse the guy of stealing stuff from her where perhaps he didn't.
Perhaps he did.
And the real issue, of course, is that regardless of whether or not this happened, this is the search result that you get when you search for his name.
Yeah, well,
and
better pat it with some good reviews.
What do you do?
You inundate it with good reviews, all fake, and then you load up, and then you push the bad reviewed onto the bottom.
Yeah,
and then also give some money to the Yelpers, and they'll fix it.
They actually do.
I know that's kind of the corrupt part.
At least that's what I hear. I don't know for sure. I kind of think I just libeled them.
They will move reviews around for a fee. That's what they used to do. At least I don't know if they do it anymore.
I know that, Clayton, you got to get going. In fact, we're making you late, so I apologize. We're going to let you go. I lost track of the time.
No worries. Yeah, I was just glancing at the time for this.
Go. Over to that reporter's confab and have some dried out shrimp and some of the lousy cheese they got there. Of that cheddar.
Oh, come on now, John. The one thing that Las Vegas has is shrimp. they must have a shrimp pool somewhere around there that we don't know about.
Okay, they got a lot of good shrimp.
There's a regular flight.
Shrimp in Las Vegas. It's the one reason to go to Comdex and CES and
those things.
You can get a year's worth of shrimp in a couple of days.
All right. Well, I'm just jealous because Clayton's going to be having the time of his life while I'm driving back.
What? Tell us about your coverage of CES. What are you going to be doing?
I'm going to be eating shrimp in my pants.
Yeah.
Will we be seeing you on Fox and Friends all week long?
Yeah, I'll be live there on Tuesday and Wednesday morning from the floor with showing off some latest and greatest. And I'll be doing a live web show, I think, at 9 a.m. Eastern time each day, Tuesday and Wednesday, for about a half an hour. So I'll be interviewing some different CEOs and awesome. Looking at some different gadgets, being roaming live a little bit around the floor like that. But
and this is why we're not covering CES, because people like Clayton are doing such a great job.
Yeah.
There's no reason to
let him do all the work.
Have fun, Clayton. It's so great to see you.
Hey, can I share one thing real quick with you guys?
Yeah.
I've been waiting to share this with you, and I don't think I have yet. I kind of kept it quiet a little bit, but I built an iPad app, and I wanted to share it with you guys.
Cool.
I was going to see. I may talk about it on MacBreak Weekly sometime, but it's called Read Quick.
That's your app?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that was. I wonder if Sarah Lane knew that. We recommended that on iPad Today this week.
Oh, how awesome!
And I mocked it.
Oh, good.
You did? Did you really?
Well, tell us what it's the strangest app ever.
You mocked it.
If I had known it was you, Clayton, I wouldn't have said that.
Well, no, I mean, so here's the best part. I hear Jason cackling. He knows about it. No, so what I did was I would read a few years ago. I wanted to be able to, you know, just read tons of articles as much as I could for work, you know. I mean, I have to be up on every possible angle of the news. And so wanted to do it quickly. And I've been a fan of speed reading since I was a kid. I was always obsessed with the science behind it. So partnered up with Instapaper and Pocket, and a great design team at Wondersauce helped me sort of realize it. My friend Pablo is a great programmer. We built it. And so you can bring in your whole Instapaper list, your Pocket list, and read it one word at a time.
Well, okay, that's the key. One word at a time.
Yeah. So it's not, it's not splashing it up there in a sentence format or doing anything else. It's one word at a time. And so your comprehension, you'll start out at like 250 words a minute. Pretty soon you'll be up to like 515 words a minute.
So is it designed to help you read faster?
Yeah.
That's the point of it?
That's the ancillary benefit of it, which is it really helps you read faster, but it also lets you I'm getting emails from people that saying now I'm able to get through my whole Instapaper queue, and I've never been able to do that before.
Okay, now let me just show you, because I have it on my iPad. Let me just show you. I'm going to take an article. This is it. No, do my thing.
How do you cut and paste from this?
Where
thing?
Is my screen? Where the hell is that pick? There it is.
We're working on.
There we go.
Okay. Watch. Now I'm going to tap this. John, watch.
I'm watching.
Okay.
We just tried about. Blah, 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 blah,
blah. Okay, and it gets. Now, how do I speed it up, Clayton? I slide?
I just hit double tap the screen again. And then see the little slider down there.
Oh, I can do it up here. That's right. So let's get a little. So as you get better. You actually can read pretty fast. It's 500 words a minute.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I mock this because this is not how I want to read an article.
But yeah, you can plow through it. It's pretty readable.
It's the thing. And then if you want to read just in normal parsed text like you would an Instapaper or Pocket, you just simply hit View Source and it takes you right to the web if you want to read it that way. But for me, you know, if you have – for doctors and for individuals who want to be able to have to read like tons of articles every week in the medical profession that want to blast through all these things, and your comprehension actually goes up because you get your verbalizing of the words out of the way.
This is so funny because I totally mocked this. On
well,
iPad
now,
today.
Now you
did
can,
Sarah
you
know
can
that
apologize.
This was your program? Because she could have told me.
I don't know.
Look, I finished the article already.
Yeah, that was a fantastic article.
Wasn't that great? Let's go read some more.
You know, the thing is, what if you don't want to read the article?
Fear and Loathing on Windows 8. Ladies and gentlemen,
hit
505
it.
Words per minute. I was very excited when I saw that. So you can't read this fast. Now, I thought, Clayton, and I thought the whole Evelyn Wood idea was to read a clump at a time, not a word at a time.
No, and so one of the things in a future update we're working on, some people have requested that, you know, that they would love to see like 15 lettered words, be able to like slowly pause. That's something we're working on. And, you know,
why are you snoring?
What?
No, you should keep reading.
I'm putting me to sleep.
This
article's boring.
Oh, it's a bad article. Well, all right. Well, anyway, so this is called Read Quick. You can find out more at readquickapp.com. Had I known, Clayton, I would not have mocked it. I would have said,
"Hey, no, hey,
if, this is a wonderful, wonderful app."
Yeah, so you're playing
don't
favorites.
You remember back when Well, we were using modems, and you started reading 300 baud, and then 1,200, yeah, and then 2,400, yeah, yeah, and you actually learned to read faster because it was the text you were keeping up with the text. This is a visualization of it. Not that's a pretty good idea.
So this was this is 2,400 baud right now.
Stop.
Clayton, get out of here. Thank you so much for sticking around. We love you. Clayton Morris, the app, readquickapp.com. I just bought it. I bought it because Sarah said to buy it, and so I did.
Well, thank you. Well, thanks to Sarah. I'll have to come on iPad today and defend myself.
Defend yourself and come on MacBreak Weekly, too, and we really appreciate it. Have a great time. I'll see you in Vegas. Okay.
All right, I'll see you there. I'll keep some shrimp in my pants.
You. Please.
Keep some shrimp in the pants.
Keep them warm for me.
Yeah.
ladies and gentlemen, we thank Jerry Pournelle, the great Jerry Pournelle. So great to have you. JerryPournelle.com. He will keep it up as long as you pay him.
Good for him.
That's the key.
Yeah. That's the key.
That's the key. I appreciate your being here. Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you.
John C. Dvorak, noagendashow.com.
That's what I would go to.
I would go there.
Try to
now.
Bring it down.
Try to see it one word at a time. See how it, if it's better that way.
It's only one word.
No Agenda Show. And anything else? ChannelDvorak.com?
Yeah, ChannelDvorak.com.
Dvorak.org. Back from CES?
Hooker.
Hooker. You got it. I can put her in the overhead compartment.
Ah, plane. No problem.
He's always been bad that way. Thank you for being here. We do Twit every Sunday afternoon, about 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern time. That's about 2,400, right about midnight. UTC.
Yeah, what's a GMT?
0000. What is that, 2,400 or 000?
I don't know.
O dark O.
Okay.
The middle of the night. But, you know, you can always, if it's too late for you, and I know for some of you that's too late, you can always download copies, audio and video
that's
available after the fact. At twit.tv and wherever you get podcasts, we're everywhere, including Stitcher. I'm going to be at CES on the Stitcher stage at the Ford booth on Tuesday. Come by, say hi. Also at New Media Expo on tomorrow, 1 p.m. for a meet and greet and 4 p.m. for my keynote.
Yeah, and say hi to me if you see me.
And say hi to John. There are two lookalikes on the show floor.
Yes. And just say hi and he'll get a card.
Thanks for being here. We'll see you next week. Another Twit is in the can. Bye-bye, everybody.